tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Think carefully. Do you remember what you had for breakfast this morning? Do you remember where you're supposed to be this afternoon? Do you remember the first question? Our children, your child, may not, because every day the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, language development, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. Will you remember that? A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Previously on this Lone Ranger program,
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Oh, that's great.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, using 21st century technology to tell the great American story of the 19th century. Advanced technologies bring the Lincoln era to life. Feel the chill in the air at the deathbed of Willie Lincoln. Experience the rumbling cannons of the Civil War and let the kids play in Mrs. Lincoln's attic. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield, Illinois. Open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Wednesday evenings until 8:30 p.m. Visit alplm.org for more information.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
Every one of you, my dear brother, when you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join PUSH. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We're going to have an amazing show today. Today's Thursday, so let's go. Let's start with the 9 o'clock hour. What are we going to be doing in the 9 o'clock hour? I'm going to have journalist Deborah Mathis on and film director Robert Greenwald on. Why? To talk about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. What the hey? They are trying to have some presidential debates partnering up with Fox? Huh? What the huh? And we already have John Edwards saying, I ain't going. I ain't trying to do anything with Fox. Fox hates black people. And we're going to be playing some of those tapes. We're going to be sharing some of that information. So film director Robert Greenwald, who has put together a Fox News clip, a compilation of a bunch of clips throughout that Fox has engaged in. And even though we all know some of this stuff, when you hear it put together, it's still dang. So that's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, Justice for Reggie. And who's going to be joining us? Of course, Jamala Rogers and also Senator Rita Days. We're going to be talking about legislation percolating through the legislature up in Jefferson City. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, as always, we're Eye on the Lou. Irene J. Smith is going to be joining me. So we've got a full morning. A full morning. Fasten your seatbelts. After all, the NRA will be in town tomorrow. So lock and load. Lock and load. We got a lot. We got a great show for you today. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Melanie, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Yes.
When you were talking to the now president.
Kim Gandy.
Yeah, you said that there was no word equal to the N-word.
What I said, there were two things that I said. I said that there isn't a word that is the equal to the N-word or equal to ho that could be directed at white men.
Well, you don't think white trash or white scum, wouldn't that be equal to the N-word?
Oh, of course not.
Why not?
Of course not, because it doesn't have the power. It doesn't have the legacy of murder. It doesn't have the race rage to it. We have people that use, I don't use that word white trash because I think it is offensive, but people don't even would make t-shirts and television shows based on that word. They use that word as casually. There isn't the history of it. And what's the opposite? What's the male counterpart to ho?
Well, I didn't know that you was talking about a word equal to ho. I thought you was.
I said both of them. I said that both of them. There isn't one. There isn't one that is as powerful, as incendiary, as hate-filled, as ugly, as historically tragic as the N-word. Absolutely not. There is no equal. There is no equal. And now, are there insults that you can level? Of course there are insults you can level, but none of them have the power of that word, of the N-word. And that is why, from my perspective, it is a word that should never be tolerated and is a word that is equal to a hate crime.
Well, you're saying so much more now than, when you just said equal.
Okay,
I'm just talking about, insults.
Okay.
I would just think white trash would be an insulted word.
And it is an insulting word, but it ain't the same as the N-word. By a long stretch. And again, there were two points that I was making with Kim Gandy, the president of Now, a couple days ago, that there aren't the same types of words that can be directed at white males.
So now you're saying specifically white males.
That's what I said then, too.
Oh, okay. So it's not just in generally white people because they use the N-word for black people in general.
Correct.
And so you're targeting white males specifically.
Specifically, yes, because I was talking about insults directed about women
mm-hmm.
and white people. So I targeted down to white males.
Oh,
okay, you got it?
Well, now I do.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Madison.
Hey, how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine. You know what? I woke up to, your intro, and it's just so. It's such a good intro.
Isn't it?
It's a good intro. If you just really sit down.
And just absorb it.
Right. And actually, my radio comes on as my alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what came on.
Okay. I love it.
It was great. But I called you to talk about Don Imus, but I actually, after listening to that lady just call about the N-word,
mm-hmm.
To me, there is no more word more gut-wrenching. And I've seen that word buckle grown men down.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even begin to say, people have always tried to come up with white cracker or, just different things. Those words are almost comical to me. In comparison to that,
absolutely.
That's no nice word. No one should call anyone but their name.
Yes.
But to say that to be even a conversation. And again, my philosophy, I've called you about this before, and, a lot of people think I'm wrong, but I think the word should be outlawed. I just do. I hate the word.
Oh, I do too. And I think that, and I think it's evidence of a hate crime.
But I just wanted to call and say good morning and thank you for your intro. And just talk about the lady who made the comment.
All right. Thank you so much, Madison. Have a great day.
You do the same.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
You know what? I would like to thank you. You are excellent. I mean excellent. The first caller, like you said, I have actually seen T-shirts. I've seen T-shirts as well as bumper stickers talking about white trash. Like you explained so well to that call, white trash has no legacy of violence.
Mm-hmm.
We as the black people, we have been lynched, murdered. You can name it. It's been done to us.
And I ain't never going to forget it.
That's right. Absolutely. The same way here. That word, again, I've seen guys with T-shirts on that states white trash. I've seen it on their pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I drive a truck. I'm on the road, so I see a lot. I go to areas where where black folks don't even go. I can name them. But anyway, my point being is that you are excellent. When they try to call in and try to trick you up or trap you up, it doesn't work, Ms. Brown.
They need
to give up.
Well, and let's talk about the word ho. What is the male equivalent of that word? There isn't.
And like I said, Ms. Brown, you are one of the best. I listen to a lot of radio. I've heard this guy Imus before. He has the audacity to look at this guy on TV. How could he say anything about anybody? He looks despicable. He looks like a caveman.
Well, to me, I'm not even trying to get into the physical piece of it.
Okay.
But MSNBC has said so long, farewells, wouldn't want to be you. You know, so I think it's going to be interesting. I suspect that there is going to be. I think you're going to lose a CBS radio gig.
Absolutely.
I really do. I really do.
Yeah, I do, too. And let me just say this in closing. You know what? We as black people, we are very creative. We are very, very creative. We created the sound of music and dance, okay? So my point being is that if that guy really wants to get into a toe-and-toe name-calling situation, he need not go there with black folks because I alone, Ms. Brown, I can rapid fire off on that guy with some words that I will shut him up. I've done it before the Caucasian males. They do not mess with me on my job.
All right.
They know me.
All right now.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thanks
have a great
for
day.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm so excited. In the 9 o'clock hour today, we're going to have film director Robert Greenwald. You know him. He's the Walmart movie, The High Cost of Low Prices. He's going to be joining us as well as Deborah Mathis, and we're going to be talking about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. They want to have some presidential debates with Fox, partnering with Fox. You know, it's not George Bush isn't the only person that doesn't like black folks. Fox doesn't like black folks. So what's up with that? We're going to be talking to both of them in the 9 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour. Senator Rita Days is going to join Jamala Rogers and myself. 7 o'clock hour. I am the Lou Irene J. Smith. My name's Liz Brown.
Stay with me. Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 at Route M and Route Z. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. That's south of Route M, so traffic is a mess down there. Clarkson and Baxter, there's lane restrictions due to an accident. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant. Look for heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is starting to build, especially in the left lanes there. Northbound 270 between 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Heavy volume as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some heavy volumes there. Westbound Kingbridge. Traffic's moving well into the landing. Westbound 55. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue in, or yeah, Bowell Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for no delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, breezy, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, low in the mid-30s. For Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the morning, occasional showers in the afternoon, high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, occasional rain, low in the upper 30s. And Saturday, cloudy, a 50% chance of rain with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees and overcast skies. Lambert Fields reporting the same. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 31, so bundle up if you're headed outside. That is a look at your traffic and your weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more of Riveting Radio with the award-winning Wake Up Call and your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most.
Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Whatever happens, baby, don't let go of my hand. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. We have much, 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 much. Did I say much? Much, much, much to talk about. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. The truth will set you free. Ms. Brown, I was so happy when I saw the news a couple days back. The student from Soldan, Ms. Brown, if no one has told you yet, he's a black male student that's been accepted at Harvard. I'm so happy that the teachers and the principal at Soldan, they did their job, Ms. Brown. There's nothing wrong with our schools, Ms. Brown. And I know Dr. Borshaw heard about this. And, Ms. Brown, I've been waiting for this day for Veronica, who needs to be in a straitjacket with Brian. She's got to give up that gavel and sit down and shut up. She thought she was going to hurt Dr. Borshaw, but she didn't hurt her, Ms. Brown. And like I said, I hope they give it to Donna, Ms. Brown, because I'm ready for the lawsuit, Ms. Brown. They're not going to get this district as easy as they think they're going to get it, Ms. Brown.
They're not going to get it at all.
They're not going to get it, Ms. Brown. The fight is on, Ms. Brown. I'm ready for the fight, Ms. Brown.
That's
because
right.
Because that student made me so proud from Soldan, Ms. Brown, I don't know what to do.
Well, and I think that everybody needs to understand that if this state takeover occurs, if this taking away the accreditation occurs, that will be the end of magnet schools. That will be the end of magnet schools in the city of St. Louis. It will be the end of the future for so many students, thousands of students in the city of St. Louis. It will be it will be the end of the city of St. Louis.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's overstatement to say that, because there are so many things in play. There are five separate bills that are up in Jefferson City right now, from firefighters, from cops, from city workers, saying, you know what, if you take away the accreditation of the school district, why should we have to be forced to live in the city of St. Louis? And if those bills are successful, then that means that entire tax base of city employees, of cops, of firefighters, will all move out of the city. Why wouldn't they? They want to take their kids to a district where it's accredited. They'll keep the job here in the city of St. Louis, but they're sure not going to live in the city of St. Louis. Who wants to build a new house in a city where the district, the largest district in the state, is not accredited? How are you going to be able to sell your house in a city where the largest district has lost its accreditation? Just, you know, the last person out, turn the lights off if this takeover occurs.
Miss Brown, everything you said was true. Miss Brown, ain't no way a free board panel, a part of panel, can take over a school district. Leave it alone and mind your own business, Miss Brown. Like I said, they disrespected Dr. Borshaw. They won't give this now that Dr. Purdy and them got the board together. Now they all on one accord.
And you know what? And the thing about, to me, it's not about disrespecting anybody. The issue here is whether or not there's a plan for the takeover, and there is not. And secondly, have anybody that is trying to make this happen thought this all the way through? This is something that could destroy the city of St. Louis.
And Ms. Brown, they haven't given Dr. Borshaw a chance. Look how long she's been down here.
All right, now.
And Ms. Brown, like I said, I was so happy with that student from Seoul. And Ms. Brown, there's nothing wrong with the St. Louis public schools. There, those children are learning like they're supposed to learn, and the ones who can't learn, Ms. Brown, that will be taken care of. And I want the teachers and the principals and the employees of the district, get ready. Don't give Slay and Mayor Blunt your school district. The war is on. The fight is on. Ms. Brown, you have a beautiful day.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
You know, I wanted to stay in that same stream with you, Liz, me being a taxpayer and all of us being taxpayers here in the city. How would it affect our real estate and personal property taxes if they were to start closing down all the schools?
Well, you know, it's going to think about it. How can a city force its employees, the city employees, firefighters, cops, to live in a district and have their families in this district, where the entire school district has lost its accreditation and there's no hope for change for at least 12 years? And what does that do to the value of your house? Who's going to want to buy your house and move into the city of St. Louis with no school district?
Well, you know, they're reassessing the property right now as we speak. And I want to know, over the years, Liz, we've voted in so many increases for the schools, and they've utilized the monies like they chose to, and closed down the schools we've refurbished.
Now, remember, I was out there, I was passing out flyers on the street telling folks not to vote for that stuff.
Yeah, I know you.
I was. I told folks, don't vote for that stuff.
Now, you know, it's still in the very near future, we're going to find out. And what I want to know from the mayor of this city, is he ready to return all of our tax monies since they won't be going for the schools that, like they have led us to believe?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Thank you.
That's a very good question. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Hello? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. MSNBC says that it will drop Imus in the morning. That's the simultelecast of the radio show for Imus. They're going to drop it. Well, and they said that it was not about the loss of advertising dollars. Well, okay. Okay. It's not about that, okay. It's about what do we want to be represented as a station that holds these types of values. MSNBC has dropped its simulcast of Imus in the Morning. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We must have much to talk about. Also, it's not only MSNBC canceling the Imus's show. There's also a Deidre Imus. Who is Deidre Imus? Don's wife. She was supposed to appear on the Martha Stewart show and The View, and she had a book tour. Well, guess what? Her book tour is canceled too, I guess so. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore about your book. They want to talk to you about your husband. A rep for Deidre Imus's publisher, Simon & Schuster, says that the whole promotional tour, Green This, Greening Your Cleaning, has been postponed indefinitely. Oh, yeah. There is a whole lot of fallout. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
Fine. How are you?
Okay. I was calling about it. Did they ever get those people in at the Riverview School District to get... I just want to know what happened to Mr. Peoples.
Mr. Peoples, his contract has not been renewed. And what's also going on, and you know what, the Riverview Garden School District is something that we're going to start focusing our eye on as well and highlighting what's happening there. Remember I told you how Mr. Peoples had hired all those black teachers?
Right.
Guess what? The new board has come in and fired most of them.
Oh, man. They fired them?
Mm-hmm.
You even know that?
Uh-huh. Just happened a day ago. It's on. Pardon?
The teachers union didn't say anything?
Well, the teachers union is mostly white. They didn't want the black teachers there to begin with.
Oh, I got you.
Okay, you got me?
Uh-huh.
You got me. All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Brenda.
Oh, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You had a gentleman on your show. He had a petition to audit the City Hall books.
Yes.
Well, what happened to that petition?
I think they're still gathering signatures for it.
I wish he would come back on and let me know where I can sign up.
Okay. All right, maybe he'll call in this morning.
And I didn't get a chance to listen to your show yesterday about the young man that had the
depleted uranium. You need to go to whiterosesociety.org and listen to that hour. I had people calling me talking about that they cried all day long after listening to that show.
It hurt me, too. You know, I can't even believe this government expect our men to be that expendable.
That's all horrible. It's horrible.
Yes, it is.
I would encourage everybody to go to whiterosesociety.org, or you can go to my website, lizbrown.com, and check out that show, because that was just an absolutely gut-wrenching hour.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Brenda. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning. Attorney Brown?
Brother Bob, good morning.
Oh, good morning. It's a beautiful morning. I agree with you and several of your callers back that the state is not going to take over the St. Louis Public School. Now, this is following a meeting. Yesterday morning, the International Urban Institute Education Committee and the supporters went to Jefferson City as agreed upon.
Brother Bob, here's the thing. I don't want you to tell that yet, because we're going to do that in the next hour.
Okay.
With Eye on the Loo. Okay? I don't want you to. I want Irene. Irene was there, right?
No, Irene was not able to go. She had been in Jefferson City Monday.
Okay.
She had been in Jefferson City Tuesday. I believe her daughter was in a very bad car accident, tore up car.
Okay.
And so we have to handle the business ourselves, but I can call in at the next hour.
Please do. Please do
all
that.
Right.
All
yes,
right.
Ma'am. Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're taking a break. Stay with me.
place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Praise the Lord, church family. It's me, Pastor E to the J to the D. Yours truly, doing my duty, live in the loop on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. And we just praising him a while. Check it out, church family. We got a brand new broadcast coming at you. It's the Friday Night Radio Broadcast Fellowship Hour. Every Friday night, 8 to 9 p.m. on your W, my W, IWGNU.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
You want to know what you're going to get in me? Just a little touch of star quality. And if I do right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I miss in the morning? I don't think so. I don't think so. 30 angry NBC News employees met with the news division president, Steve Kaplis, less than 24 hours before Kaplis decided that the two-week suspension of Imus's news telecast wasn't enough. They said that they had it with Imus's brand of coarse ethnic humor. And Kaplis said that comment came to the comment that came to through to us time and time again was, when is enough going to be enough? When is enough going to be enough? Huh. Barack Obama has joined into the comments. He said he's the first presidential candidate to call on Imus to be fired. He didn't just cross the line. He fed into some of the worst stereotypes that my two young daughters are having to deal with today in America. Imus's program was the only thing that MSNBC has aired on weekday mornings for the 11 years of the network's existence. It's a huge deal that they've dropped him. That's a huge deal that MSNBC has dropped him. I mean, it didn't hurt that advertisers were flying out the door. It didn't hurt that advertisers were saying, you know what? No. You know what? No. 1-877-920-WGNU. Rudy.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I'm outstanding, Rudy. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. You know, I just wanted to touch on that Duke lacrosse team, those three young white guys that, you know.
I thought you wanted to talk about Imus.
Oh, yeah, I know.
All right. Well, that's that.
On that.
All right.
But I just wanted to welcome those little white guys into the world of being black because that type of thing happens to us all the time. And as far as Imus goes.
Oh, you think that they didn't do anything?
Oh, I mean, if they didn't, if
you
they
think
didn't
they did,
do,
you think they didn't do anything?
I know they did it, but these were rich, privileged white boys.
Well, then they're not. Then they haven't been welcomed into the world of African community. The African community, we stand accused of things that we didn't do.
Right.
They got off because of who they are. So that's
right.
A whole other world.
They even brought out the fact that
Honor and privilege.
They had all these high-powered lawyers.
Unearned privilege.
And they got all this DNA evidence, and even the prosecutor, that shocked me. The prosecutor come out and say they're innocent. I ain't never heard the prosecutor say this, but these are all their fathers.
But they had to change. They had to change prosecutors to get that comment. But anyway, back to Imus.
Imus, well, this guy's been doing this forever. I've watched his show in the morning for about 30 seconds. That's about all I could take of him. And this guy's been saying crazy stuff like that forever. And people like Rush Limbaugh, I heard Rush Limbaugh make a statement the Friday before the Super Bowl saying that when he watches the NFL now, all he sees is a bunch of Crips and Bloods. And nobody has called Rush Limbaugh. This man is a known drug addict. The man was caught with 4,000 pills of the most powerful painkiller known to man. And all he got was 18 months, and that's it. Then he violated his parole by being caught with some Viagra pills with somebody's name on the prescription. I mean, you know, this stuff just goes on and on and on. You know, all these other guys, I listen to all them old, you know, right-wingers just to see where they're, you know, what they're thinking. And these guys are able to say whatever they want to say on a continuous basis.
And that's why, and again, here's the thing. Okay, there is something that is happening right now. MSNBC has dropped Imus. We need to keep the pressure on. That bottom line, we got to do that. Thanks for your call, Rudy.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Bob.
Yes, Liz. Good morning.
Good morning.
Passing on past Imus, as I said yesterday, it's bigger than him. For a long time, black people have been kind of letting their guard down and allowing this kind of thing to go on. But now that they've taken action on him, I'm hoping that it's a wake-up call for all of the others that think they can do this and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the people and the dollar has spoken together here. The big money they're not going to get.
Absolutely.
From advertising and the people's outrage, and especially black people saying, we're not taking this.
Absolutely.
So I hope it just continues on, even into the movies that we have to look at and the rap music that these producers are making so much
and
money.
Here's the thing. One of the things that I think that we need to talk about when we talk about rap music and some rap music and some of the content in it, I'm tired of talking about the artist. I think we need to talk about those that the record companies
make the money.
They're the ones that rip these artists talk about all the time. They
That's
don't make
right.
no money. They're the people that are making the money are the companies that are allowing this filth to be put out there.
It's
the company. It's the company.
They're making money on it.
That's
if
a
they
fact.
Weren't making money, it wouldn't be ours.
And they also don't care. And they also don't care.
Our kids are so talented. They can make good songs.
They do. No, they do. They bring that. But wait a minute. But they bring the good music and they say that's not what we want to sell.
No, they don't want to sell that. No, I want to make one quick comment about the Duke lacrosse.
I got to go. I got to get to my other calls. Thanks for your call, Bob.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. Liz, maybe you can explain this to me. I watched the press conference that the basketball team held, the Rutgers women, and I heard the president of Rutgers speak, and he spoke for quite a while talking about the heinous things that Don Imus said, and then there was another spokesman that did the same thing. But when the coach Coach Stringer got up there, she called Don Imus Mr. Mr. Imus. She spoke to him as Mr. Imus three times. And then when the spokespeople for the women's basketball team got up there, they called him Mr. Imus. Now, I don't understand. They've been insulted to the 10th degree for the words he spoke, not only to them, but women out there and all women and others he's insulted. Why would they call him Mister? That's my first question.
Well, and I would just, my response to that would just be, given everything else that they said, I'm going to forgive them for that. I'm going to look upon that as a minor faux pas, because given the fact that they said everything else that needed to be said, I'm going to let that go.
Okay, my next question is, why would they meet with this person? Because the reason they said they were going to meet with him is that they wanted to meet with him so he could see their personal worth. They don't, Imus doesn't care anything about their worth. If they had listened to some of the other things that he has said about women and other individuals, they would know that he doesn't care about anybody's worth.
I think that that's a personal choice, and I wouldn't meet with him. I mean, I would not meet with them, and they're going to. But I'm mad at them. You know, I'm not mad at them. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not mad at them for doing it.
I'm not mad at them either, Liz, but I'm just thinking that would be another opportunity for him to climb on the back so
I agree.
To get some
I agree.
More publicity.
I agree. I agree with all that. I agree with that.
And by them being young women, they should have had maybe more counseling to tell them not to meet with him. That's where, because they are young.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Carphone.
Miss Brown.
Yes.
How you doing this morning?
I'm out.
Hey, Miss Brown, do you remember the comments that Bill Collins was making about the black guys, about tennis shoes and all that crap?
Yes.
Why Bill Collins not stepping up on this here and saying something about these good girls? Now, ladies here.
You know what? You make a beautiful point. A beautiful point. Where is he? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What, you afraid to talk to him? Well, NBC smacked him down before, remember? When he said he wanted to, after making all that money with the Cosby Show, he wanted to buy NBC, and they smacked him down and said, what, are you crazy?
Yeah, that's right. Got rid of him.
said, no, we don't want your money. We don't care how much money you have. We're not going to let you buy NBC. You got to be out your mind.
Okay, Ms. Brown.
All right, now. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I wonder why Hillary Clinton hasn't came out to say anything about MSNBC.
Oh, she has. She said that I would never be on his show. He should be fired, and he should all of that stuff.
When did she say that?
She said it, I think it was 2 days ago.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
And what about John Edwards?
I don't know that John Edwards has said anything, and Barack Obama has said yesterday that he should be fired.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Oh, well, yeah, he should be fired. He should be out of his job because that's totally offensive to women and African-Americans.
To America. It should be offensive to all of America.
Right. That's right.
All
and
right.
I totally
now.
Agree with you. You know, at first I was like, okay, I was kind of hurt because I watched him in the morning, you know.
Mm.
But, you know, you don't just say things like that. You got to think about things before you say them. And actually, he must have meant it because he wouldn't have said it if he didn't.
Fact. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
Take care. Bye. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Yes, quickly, please.
Good morning.
Yes.
Liz.
Yes.
You know, I'm hearing so much about Imus. I really hadn't heard his name until I remember a terrible comment he made concerning Williams' sister. And I'm wondering, why didn't people get in an uproar when he made this statement about the Williams' sister, how they was looking and how it should be on the national Geographic. Did you hear a lot of people discussing him then?
I remember discussing it, but it didn't catch fire the way that this did.
Well, that was terrible, and I kept talking about it. And I would like to ask you, what's going on? Are they still collecting money, and how is the Save Our Children Fund? I've been telling
Okay, you. And I'll get to that in the next hour, okay?
You will?
Yes, I will. Okay, we're taking a break, going to the top of the hour. Eye on the Loose coming up. Stay with me.
Believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's supposed to be one of the safest places in Baghdad, but somehow someone got past the guards in Baghdad's green zone long enough to detonate a bomb in the Iraqi parliament complex. There are reports of at least two lawmakers dead, many others hurt. More from ABC's Hillary Brown in Baghdad.
There's no word on the type of explosion, whether it was caused by a rocket or a mortar or a bomb set inside the building. If it was a bomb, it would be an absolutely phenomenal breach of security for the Green Zone, where there are blast walls and checkpoints almost every 3 feet.
The explosion occurred in a busy cafe where people were eating lunch. He's getting a 2-week suspension from his radio program, and Don Imus is getting a pink slip for his TV gig. MSNBC's canceled the TV simulcast of Don Imus' syndicated show. It's the latest fallout from those infamous comments the host made about the Rutgers University women's basketball team. Imus didn't sound too confident about his radio show this morning.
As you know, MSNBC folded up yesterday, so we're just on the radio, and I didn't sense a lot of courage on the part of people at CBS.
More sponsors are jumping ship, including General Motors. Let me check. It really is April, right? It is, but it feels more like February across much of the Midwest thanks to a very late winter storm. So, Chicago, what do you think about
it? Well, it's spring. I'd like nicer weather.
I was looking forward to a nice spring, but not here yet.
I've seen it snow in May, so nothing surprises
nothing
me.
Nothing should surprise you in the Midwest this time of year. The storm, by the way, has grounded a lot of flights at Chicago and Milwaukee's airports. It's forced the cancellation of the Cubs game against the Houston Astros, and it's blamed for at least 6 deaths across the region. One of the Duke University lacrosse players says a 395-day nightmare has finally come to an end. The North Carolina Attorney General yesterday dropped all charges against him and two other players in connection with the sexual assault of an exotic dancer at an off-campus party. This is ABC News.
What will it be, ma'am?
I'll have a pound of Swiss.
Okay.
Have a pound of peppered turkey.
Turkey.
And some peace of mind, please.
Coming up.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, and I'll have a pound of happiness, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Great yard.
Oh, thanks.
Is that your new grill over there?
Yeah.
You like it?
Awesome. You done any cooking yet?
Nope. Still breaking in this patio furniture.
Yeah, you can't rush that.
Soda?
Want a great yard this year? Start now with special deferred financing on purchases store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. So get it now, then take it easy. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through April 18th in U.S. only. See store for details.
It pays to be a professor these days, but it pays even more to be a really good football coach. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
The annual survey from the American Association of University Professors shows that salaries for professors went up 3.8% this year, the biggest hike in 5 years. But there were other groups that made even more money. The survey made note of high-profile contracts for football coaches. The University of Alabama's Nick Saban recently signed an 8-year deal worth at least $32 million. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
Larry Birkhead hopes his legal battles are over, but he says he'll do what he has to make sure he gets sole custody of his daughter with the late Anna Nicole Smith. He says sharing Daniel Lynn would imply he's an unfit parent, which he says he is not. Smith's mother, Virgie Arthur, may still fight for custody. Author Kurt Vonnegut's dead. The man who wrote Slaughterhouse-Five, Cat's Cradle, and many other books was 84 years old. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the deaths of a mother and her 3 children have been ruled as homicides. That's the word from a coroner's jury on the September killings of Jamila Tunstall and her family. Tunstall's 7-month-old unborn child was cut from her womb in the incident as well. 24-year-old Tiffany Hall has been charged with first-degree murder and intentional homicide of an unborn child. Hall faces a possible death sentence if convicted. She has pleaded not guilty and remains jailed on $5 million bond. The Belleville Police Department is looking for a hacker that invaded their website. Police say they started getting calls on Tuesday night that website visitors were being redirected to what was apparently a Turkish extremist site. They say that confidential department information was not compromised because everything is computerized on separate servers. Belleville police say the company that manages its servers is also trying to track down the hacker. Finally this hour, Cardinals team doctor George Paletta is optimistic about Chris Carpenter's rehabilitation. Carpenter was placed on the 15-day disabled list on Monday. The team statement described the injury as moderate arthritis and a mild impingement in his right elbow. Paletta says the impingement resulted from bone spurs in the pitching elbow and is the more significant issue. Carpenter had begun feeling discomfort and swelling after his start on April 1st against the New York Mets. Paletta feels that aggressive treatment will allow Carpenter to return to action after a reevaluation. This WGNU News report is sponsored by People's Health Center Men's Healthy Happy Hour. Take a few minutes to protect your health. Free PSA tests, diabetes, cholesterol, and blood pressure screenings. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. today. The Men's Healthy Happy Hour at People's Health Centers, 5701 Del Mar. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 from Route M through Route Z. There's an accident. Expect stop traffic. The right lane is blocked. That's just south of Route M. Accident investigation work at Clarkson and Baxter. Northbound Clarkson is closed at Baxter, so find another alternate route. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and 170, look for an accident. Center lane is blocked at 170. Expect stop-and-go traffic there. Slow traffic on the King Bridge from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight, look for delays there as well. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 44, you've got heavy volume from Soccer Park through 270 Exchange. Northbound Illinois, Route 3 at Monsanto all the way onto the 5570 bridge there. Look for no problems to report at the top of that ramp. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, it is slow there. 70 eastbound from Bryan Road through 79, look for some delays. And northbound 270 is slow on the 70 interchange there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to breezy, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. Highs should be around the 50-degree mark. For this evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the 30s. For Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the morning, occasional showers in the afternoon with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, occasional rain, lows in the upper 30s. And Saturday, cloudy, a chance of rain with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 37 degrees, cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 38 degrees. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 29, so if you're out there, bundle up this morning. That is a look at your news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton. You're listening to AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City.
Welcome to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and we've got a full board of stuff to talk about this morning. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
Oh, my goodness. We have a whole lot of stuff, all kinds of, like, interesting little tidbits that are percolating out here just a little bit. And we're going to try to do some reconstruction, deconstruction of some of these things out here. The one thing that you and I haven't had an opportunity to really talk a whole lot about is the whole ticket scalping piece with the police department and the ticket jacking, as I refer to it. I had Eddie Simmons, the president of the Ethical Society, on my show on Monday. And that's, lawyer to lawyer, I wanted to have that discussion about, we have the chief of police saying that it is a appalling and reprehensible, intolerable was the word that he used, an intolerable thing, but yet they get to keep their job, yet they get to keep their pension, yet they only get punished for maybe a year. And then Francis Slay also weighs in and says that at first I heard it was just awful, but I'm happy with the punishment that MoCA wants to give. What do you think when you hear MoCA talk about this is intolerable, but apparently it's not intolerable?
Apparently it is tolerable. I think one of the reasons this just underscores why a lot of young people and the city of St. Louis, many people don't respect the St. Louis Police Department under the leadership of MoCA, because, you know, to listen to people say that they didn't take anything of value is like a joke to me. As you talked about on the show when we first talked about this, you know, now they swipe tickets. Mm-hmm. So the value, once the ticket is swiped, you get the value. You got to see the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if that had happened in city government with someone who the mayor's office wanted to get rid of, that's stealing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's stealing. It's tampering with evidence. You know, and I'm sure there's some other regulations in the police department that it violates, but in terms of crimes, I can think of at least two crimes,
mm-hmm.
and that is stealing and tampering with evidence. you talked a little bit when you were talking with Eddie about
China custody.
China custody. Mm-hmm. Certainly the China custody has been broke. We don't know who else had those tickets because I think some friends got to benefit from them. And to take the position that this is terrible, but, you know, these are just guys. It's like the position that the police department took back in, I think it was the early 70s or late 60s, when policemen were found to be setting some property on fire.
That's right.
And the commander of internal affairs said, oh, it's just kids play.
Kids play. And the other piece of it, and I want to explore that a little bit more, is the piece that hasn't been focused on is all of the cases, narcotics cops. All of the cases that are now in jeopardy and should be in jeopardy because if you don't have your credibility, you're not a good witness. So now we have these cops with these cases, and these cases, if these cases were legitimate to begin with, we're going to talk about that when we come back in. Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Sil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And Irene, we were talking about this whole push it under the table thing that they're trying to do with these cops that have stolen, these cops ticket jacked. I mean, when cops walk up to citizens with their guns, with their badges, in their uniforms, and they tell a citizen to do something, and what they're telling the citizen to do is against the law, then if I had a gun on, what would they charge me with? Even if I did, if I had it in my holster, and they could just see it, I didn't take it out, what could they charge me with?
If you had a gun in your holster?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a gun on you?
Mm-hmm.
No, unlawful use of a weapon, mm-hmm. you know.
But, I mean, in terms of trying to, taking something from somebody.
If you're taking something, you stole it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the gentleman that called in that works at the ballpark mm-hmm. or worked at the Scotch Trade Center and said, had he did the same thing, had he did the exact same thing, took the tickets, used them or let his friends use them and then put them back, he would have been fired for stealing because in the final analysis, it's stealing. So what the chief is saying with the, when the police steal, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just as you indicate. I mean, it's like who do the rules apply to? They don't apply to the police. If the police steal because they said no harm, the tickets are there, but it's not the ticket that's the value. It's the use of the ticket that's the value. It's the ability to get into a World Series game.
And the other piece of it is, it's fascinating to me, the other piece of it is that, so you would be comfortable and the cop would be comfortable getting on the stand and making that argument. You know, if I said, okay, well, I gave it back. You know, I took your car, but then I returned it to your house, so no harm, no foul. No, you took my car and you used it. You know, they took the ticket, they used it, and they brought the ticket
and
back.
And they brought the ticket back. It would be interesting. There is a city firefighter who had an incident involving, I guess, his wife, who at that time was living in Illinois or something, and he had a gun in his car, and he was stopped in Illinois. Okay, it's illegal in Illinois to carry a gun in an unlocked container. Mm-hmm. So he was charged. So he got probation or whatever. So then it became to the attention of the chief. So he's been charged with a crime. So, of course, he has to face disciplinary action. So the question becomes, okay, now this guy is placed on probation. You know, how do we, what would the mayor say about that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happened in Illinois. It didn't impact on his duties as a firefighter. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not that person is fired or whether he's already been fired or whatever. But the fact of the matter that the mayor of the city and the chief of police would take the position that stealing a ticket and using it.
No harm, no foul.
I mean, it's a slap, you just get a pat on the hand. But if a city employee were caught stealing a roll of toilet paper, I would guess, and I represented a number of them, the person would be fired.
And the other piece of it is that what we were talking about on the way out was the fact that we now have all of these criminal cases that Jennifer Joyce, where can she go with them? I mean, you know, I was a criminal defense attorney. You're a criminal defense attorney. You go into court and you have a cop that stole those tickets and he's the one that's going to be pointing his finger at your client. You do the happy dance all up and down the aisle because who the heck is going to believe him? We already know you stole. So why wouldn't you lie about this guy, doing something wrong?
And I guess the question is, who are these guys? Mm-hmm. Who are these officers? Does anyone know?
No, they don't.
Because every other incident involving other officers, and particularly African-American officers, it has been, their names have been put out there.
Faces have been put out there,
sometimes on the front page mm-hmm. of the paper. But in this instance, and I haven't read, other than the one article that you showed me, I don't know that I've read a follow-up article, so it's interesting. I'm not in a position to say how the press, mm-hmm. how they can press. You know, they can press. But they use things like used.
Mm-hmm. Nobody said stole.
Nobody. I don't know that the word stolen has been used. Perhaps there have been follow-up articles that did use the word. But the tickets were stolen. And there's no other way to look at it. You used something that you didn't pay for.
And we also have to have the conversation, Irene, about the White Police Officers Association, because they basically said, like mafia people said, you know, if we don't get our way, we're tearing this stuff up. You know, that these guys, and I get incensed when I see a comment like, these men have families, as if other people out here don't have families, as if people that are charged with crimes don't have families, as people that black police officers that are facing charges in the department, they don't have families. What, your family? Now we already know that you think that you're more valuable than us because we get punished more if we do something to you than if we do something to another person, and now your family is more valuable than my family?
And not only that, you don't want to live in the city of St. Louis.
Fact. fact.
You don't want to live in the city of St. Louis.
You want to steal tickets in the city of St. Louis.
Right.
You don't
Then I think, you know, and Eddie, when he was on your show, Officer Simmons indicated it's the issue of integrity for the police department. And, you know, people are looking at him like, you know, you pulling me over. You know, can't you hear the young? Yeah, you pulling me over because you said my tags was altered, and I'm going to get a felony charge. But what about y'all stealing them tickets?
That's right. That's right. And it's a fair question.
You know, what about y'all stealing them tickets?
So
you're going to charge me with a felony. Now, keep in mind, you know, you have the temporary plates, and you alter it. If you alter, that is now a felony offense, okay? Now, the person who did it, maybe they didn't have the money to pay the sales tax. They have family. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that get to be an excuse? I have a family. I have to get to work. That cannot be used, but, and it's interesting because I haven't heard anything lately from the Circuit Attorney's Office on how she is going to handle this.
And I think that the point that you raise about the kids that, and the adults, that it's hard out here. It is hard to have a job. It is hard to pay for the money to have a car. It's hard to pay for insurance. It's hard to for some people to have all that money. And the idea that for altering a tag, now you're going to have a felony record, and the point that you make is a very valid one. They have families too. They have babies to feed too. Why should they get a felony charge if cops who steal tickets don't get any charges
right.
at all? Why should any of us get any kind of crimes against us if the cops can steal and not have their police officers association stand up? Because I'm so sick of this white police officers association having every negative, ugly, racist comment in the world to talk about other people's behavior, but not once when a cop commits a crime, except if a cop is black, well, they talk about cops doing bad things and wrong things. You say that you want us to trust and believe in you, but when your cops do commit crimes, you circle the wagon, you leave horses' heads in the police chief's bed, and then you say, we ain't nobody's going down for stealing.
And on the one hand, it's interesting because if you talk to the public, about police officers, firefighters, but we're talking about police officers. And in Evelyn, people put them on a pedestal because of the work that they do. And it's honorable work that they do. Now, there may not be honor in the way that they perform their duties, but it's honor in the job that they have. And so on the one hand, and police officer, well, I'm a police officer. I'm putting my life on the line. Of course, you have the choice about doing that. On the one hand, you want to be held in this high esteem. If you shoot a police officer, it's supposed to be a higher punishment, okay? On the one hand, you want to be held high. But when you, as is others, when they do wrong things, you want to be treated with a different standard.
A lawless standard.
It's a totally different
standard. You're
saying
that the laws don't apply to us in any or all circumstances. The laws don't apply because what we do is so important and so valuable, y'all should just take whatever we do and the laws don't apply to us at all.
And I think it speaks to the integrity of the chief of police and the integrity of the mayor of this city,
who's on the board,
who's a member of the commission, who takes the position, I'm satisfied with the recommendation. So what you're saying is, policemen, if you steal baseball tickets and put them back, even though you got the benefit,
we cool with that.
It's okay.
We cool
we're not going to fire you,
we
and
cool
we're not
going
to make an example that this type of behavior will not be tolerated.
We cool with that. This is I on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I see your calls. I'll be back. We'll get to you when we get straight back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 from Route M through Route Z. Look for an accident. You can expect stop traffic as right lane is blocked. It's just south of Route M. Avoid the area if you can. Clarkson at Baxter, there's accident investigation work, and northbound Clarkson is closed at Baxter. Westbound 270 from 367 through 170. Look for stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident that's been cleared at 170, but expect delays. South or northbound 55 from Herculaneum through Route M. Look for slow traffic due to an accident in the opposing lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the bank into the landing at this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Heavy volume there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is starting to get slow. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic there as well. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry. Look for some delays around the 44 Exchange. And then again, northbound 270 from Dorset onto the 70 exit lanes. Look for some slowdowns there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, breezy, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, low in the mid-30s. For Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the morning, then again through the afternoons with a high in the upper 40s. Friday evening, occasional rain, lows in the upper 30s. And Saturday, cloudy, a chance of rain again with a high in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees, cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 38 as well. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 29, so if you're headed out to the bus stop, bundle up. Do take care because it is a little chilly out this morning. That is a look at your traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. More next with Eye on the Lou. Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown are on the way on the award-winning wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
For my business, I want to bank with ideas.
For my business, I want to bank with solutions.
That business bank is Heartland Bank, with innovative products and services and a knowledgeable staff to provide solutions.
I want a business bank that listens.
I want a business bank that responds.
That's Heartland, offering personal one-on-one attention with the responsiveness today's business world demands. Heartland means business. So call Heartland Bank today at 314-512-8888 to start your new business banking relationship. Heartland Bank is FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Let's get to some of our callers here. Pat, good morning.
Yes, Liz, you asked a question.
Liz, turn your radio down, Pat.
Okay. You asked a question. Well, it's enough enough. Well, you understand the limits. When people understand the limits, then enough is enough. The police officer's been taking freebies, just as Irene Smith said, indicated. Now they want to place limits on those freebies. So we understand that they know limits. See, it's us that don't understand the limits, just like nations do. You see, the Iraqians, they understand the limits. That's why this government is in war. When we understand limits, as they understand limits, and girl, you're so beautiful, Liz. You understand that. I love you.
Thank you so
much. I love you, big sister.
1-877-920-WGU. And I think Pat makes a really good point in terms of, you know, they just don't want any limits being put on their stealing. Just don't want any limits at all. Let me get to Robin here. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning, sweetie.
You know,
how are you?
To both of you talk, and you were talking about how you swipe the card and you could put it back.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good friend. She just got fired from Walmart, you know, and she had a discount card. And she let somebody use her discount card, and she got fired for $4.61. But she had got her card back. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, and she's got a family. She's got a little boy. She's got to pay rent, light, mm-hmm. gas, and she just purchased a car.
So, you know, look at my family. And you know right. what? And you know what? Here's the thing for me, Robin. Mm-hmm. I think that we should be compassionate. I believe that we should factor
for
those
everyone.
Things. But the issue is for everyone. Just because you're a cop does not mean that you're going to get humane treatment and the rest of us are going to get the heel of your boot. And that's the problem, because you don't hear any cries of humanity from this Police Officers Association. We all have a wonderful human story to tell. And we all deserve compassion. And what I'm hearing from them is that they're the only ones that deserve compassion, and we deserve the heel of their boot, and that is unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Y'all right.
Have a good day.
Charles Quincy Troop, good morning.
Good morning, Liz and Irene. You know, I just don't think you all can help it. I think you all are just troublemakers. And you all don't understand the limits. You need to understand the limits.
Okay, break it down for
yeah,
us.
Tell us what the limits are.
Well,
because
you
you're talking to a middle child, only girl. I don't know the word limit, okay?
And you're talking to the oldest of many. I'm the oldest of more than 11 siblings. So come on and tell me the limits.
Let me tell you, if the police board take the position that is all right for police officers to steal, and if the chief says it's all right for police officers to steal, and then the mayor codifies that by saying this is okay, then the issue is if these police officers are prosecuted, then they won't be prosecuted, then what it does is open up the door to all the other police officers who have been doing this all along. So the police officers are saying, and so the board is saying, well, we need to put this thing back in the box. Because if we prosecute them, then they give up the other police officers. Then everybody is wrong. But if the chief is not right, how can the police officers be right? If the board is not right, how can the police officers be right? So they're all a bunch of crooks.
And at the very least, they condone criminal behavior by a police department.
Yeah.
Police have been taking people jewelry, drugs, money, and reselling them for years.
And that's true.
And everybody know that. The listening public that's sitting out there quiet, they say, yeah, we know that. But that's, those are unmentionables. We're not supposed to talk about it.
But
now you're talking about prosecuting them?
Quincy, I mean, but I guess the problem is there are police officers that are out there doing everything that you mentioned, but there are also equally police officers Wait a minute, let me finish. Make my point?
Okay.
My point is not talking about the good police officers, but saying the type of jaundice that this makes the idea of law enforcement, because that then those police officers that are out there, you know, upholding, taking their oath seriously to serve and protect, that makes their job even more difficult. So when you look at stealing as an offense in the state of Missouri, and while we're on break, Liz, now we looked it up. A person commits the crime of stealing if he or she appropriates property or services of another with the purpose to deprive him or her thereof, either without his or her consent, or by means of deceit or coercion. So certainly they got these tickets by deceit. They didn't buy them.
And coercion.
And coercion because they took them off.
And they're cops.
And they're police officers.
Okay, so that's the coercion part, because if a stranger had walked up to them without a gun on, they wouldn't have given their tickets over to them. So they coercion and deceit. It's stealing, plain and simple.
It's stealing. And we didn't even pull up tampering with and receiving stolen property. That's another. You know, they stole it off the evidence cage or wherever they keep them now.
Well, you know, who
gave it to a friend.
And that's the other missing piece of this discussion. Who were the people that these tickets were handed off to? I've heard, rumor has it, that there's some high-level officials in the city of St. Louis, the heads of some departments, that ended up with some of those tickets. So the question is, because we need to charge the people that received the stolen property as well. Who are those people?
That's right.
I want to know the faces and the names of those people. Because maybe they went and got these tickets. Maybe they were instructed to go down there and get some tickets from some people to deliver them to some highly placed people within the city of St. Louis departments.
So you have not only stealing, but you have the issue of receiving stolen property, tampering with evidence, and the police chief and the mayor are saying, and I don't know rather what position the police board, I guess they're saying that that's okay. We agree with the chief. This is tolerable. If police officers do this, if those other individuals who are obviously receiving stolen property because the tickets were stolen.
They know, everybody know they didn't buy those dang tickets.
They were stolen. They were stolen out of the evidence container. Lockup, whatever they call it nowadays.
If it made it that far.
If it made it that far, even if they ever got there,
mm-hmm.
and they were given to those others, so those individuals received stolen property.
Yeah, Irene, you know, but it's not stolen when the police do it.
And that's the bottom line. It's not stolen when...
That's the whole thing. The police can do anything they want to do if the chief and the board and the mayor supports them, and the prosecutor still has the right to prosecute.
And you know what? So they ain't telling no lie when they say we're the number one most dangerous city in America.
It is dangerous. It creates a dangerous environment.
You go around and take your stuff, and then the board knows it, and the chief knows it, and the whole universe knows it, and nothing happens. I mean, that's arrogant.
It's lawless. Arrogant. Thanks for your call, Quince. 1-877-920-WGNU. Walter.
Yeah.
Quickly, please.
Liz, you sure all the every part of that ticket is there? Because when you go in, you got to take that stub off.
So you're right.
Well, no, they changed the process. They changed it where when you have the new tickets now, they swipe them, and they give you the ticket back.
Oh, so they don't tear it off anymore.
They don't tear it off. They swipe the ticket. That's why they feel comfortable in doing it, because they actually swipe the ticket.
So there's no evidence that the ticket has been
they
used.
They thought.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right now, Walter.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, this is Eye on the Lou. Stealing. A person commits the crime of stealing if he or she appropriates property or services of another with the purpose to deprive him or her thereof, either without his or her consent or by means of deceit or coercion. That's statute 570.030, Missouri Revised Statutes, Chapter 570, stealing and related offenses. And it doesn't say anything about here, in here. And I haven't read all of it, Irene, but I don't think
there's no exception.
Exception for a cop, unless you a cop. And I ain't seen that in there. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We'll be back. Stay with us. The place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I just want to remind everybody of what's coming up on the Wake Up Call today. 9 o'clock, we're going to have film director, producer Robert Greenwald is going to be joining journalist Deborah Mathis. What are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. They want to hold a couple of presidential presidential debates. That's cool, right? That's very cool. But why are they doing it with Fox? Fox hates black people. In fact, director Robert Greenwald has put together a compilation of some of the things that Fox has said about black folks. I just want to give you a bit of a tease right now.
I think these civil rights leaders are nothing more than racist. They're keeping their neighborhoods and their African-American brothers enslaved, if you will, by continuing to let them think that they're, or force them to think that they're victims, that the whole system is against them. Articulate it better, Sean. It's so sad to me.
We can't even say you're articulate. We can't even give you guys compliments.
Half of the kids in this country under 5 years old are minorities. White people are having fewer. Put it bluntly, we need more babies.
That's just a teaser, folks. That's a teaser. That's the news station that the Congressional Black Caucus wants to partner up with to have presidential debates. We're going to have that discussion in the 9 o'clock hour when film director Robert Greenwald and Deborah Mathis, journalists, will be joining us to talk about that. Then, of course, in the next hour, we're going to have Justice for Reggie with Jamala Rogers. Senator Rita Days is going to be joining us. And right now, you're listening to Eye on the Lou. And Irene, traveling up to Jefferson City.
Yeah, and Brother Bob called in.
Right, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to get to him in just a minute. I know he's on the line right now. But let's talk about a couple of things, a couple of bills and stuff that are up in Jefferson City, just to throw some things that people need to keep their eye on, some interesting things that are going on. Cunningham has introduced a bill. Cunningham, who Representative Cunningham, who left little notes on all of the school board members' chairs when they got to their first meeting yesterday with the newly elected board. Please don't fight this. Just lay down, bend over, and take this. The takeover's coming. We're trying to do what's good for all the kids. She introduced a bill that would allow public school students to choose to attend a different school district from the one in which they live under conditions specified in the bill. And this is another attempt to, again, destroy our school district.
But it just shows, and you and Peter pointed it out yesterday, on how they are just, they have a goal they want to reach, and they have not fully analyzed the impact. Now, if she thinks that the county school districts are going to tolerate not being able to decide who comes into their school district, creates another hole.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you are creating allies for the St. Louis Public Schools.
Absolutely.
Because if you think that county school districts are going to go along with this, that you all, whoever you say coming to, we don't get to decide who comes into our school district, you're creating a whole nother level of opposition.
Another interesting bill, House Bill 882, establishes the Human Voice. It's called the Human Voice Contact Act. And it would require state agencies to ensure that a caller is provided the option to speak with a live attendant.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
I really like that. I'm tired of talking to press two.
Press three. And you never get to a human being. And that's a bill that was introduced by Sam Page, co-sponsored by Terry Young. They haven't had a hearing yet, but it's on the House calendar for perfection. And then another one, and you and I are going to do this at a later date, Irene. Just looking at some of this nasty, nasty legislation that's coming out directed at undocumented workers here. We have House Bill 889 prohibits illegal aliens from receiving public assistance. We're gonna go through those bills because we're coming to the end of the session, but there's been a whole...
A rash of bills.
Yes, yes.
A great deal of them.
And then, we have that seatbelt bill that is percolating through where they would be able to stop you if you don't have your seatbelt on.
We're going to really have a good discussion because one of us thinks one way and the other thinks another way.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is to see a number of white legislators standing up and saying, I'm concerned about this from the issue of profiling. So it's going to be a very, very, very interesting, and see what happens.
It's going to be an interesting discussion because the truth of the matter is police officers pull you over and they lie about why they pull you over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But again, if they're stealing your tickets, I mean, we don't need to give them another way to get at us. Let's get to some of the calls. Brother Bob has an announcement to make. Brother Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Bob.
Brother Bob.
Yes, good morning. All I can say right now is that the people up in Jefferson City and the Attorney General office are much more practical and thoughtful concerning the state takeover. Their attitude was totally different, and we did not meet with the Attorney General, but we were able to meet with Attorney Paul Wilson. He is the Senior Deputy Chief of Staff, and believe me, he is in charge of litigation. I mean, when we got there, they said that the Attorney General was not in the Capitol. That was okay. We let it know. We didn't want to meet with no one that could make it. We want people that could really, really understand what we were saying and can report back and deal with the real issues. So the first person they sent us was a very young attorney. He was very nice, named Peter Lyskowski. Okay, he was very young, and he understood that we were serious about our business. So he left and went and got the senior deputy chief of staff, who had been heavily involved in litigation, and he's the one that was in charge. He was on the floor of the Senate, but we had to wait about 17 minutes for him to get back over. That's who we finally sit down and had over our meeting with. It was a very important. But he was able to explain to us that he understood clearly what was going on, and he was right on the mark in terms of the litigation that he said that he had.
And, Brother Bob, we only have 30 seconds here. What was the what's the final deal? What ended at the end of the
The final deal is that he did apologize in terms of he received a letter that came across his desk from our first FedEx letter that we sent up. He will work on trying to get a meeting here in the city of St. Louis through the Attorney General office.
Brother Bob, what about the written response?
We will have tomorrow at the International Institute regular Saturday morning meeting from 9 to 11. We will have a full report if the public like to come out. It's going to be at the Fireman Building at 1020 North Taylor, which we meet every Saturday on that. And they are much more practical. They are much more for real and truthful and honest up there in Jefferson City than what these people down here, Mayor Slade and the other political cronies, they are off the mark, and I'm pretty sure, Liz, I'm with you and Irene, and we do not need to burn Irene, Liz, and Truth out. We must continue to go up there. Irene was not able to make it with us. We can handle our business at Black Folk Plus. It's serious, taking care of the business for the school and our community.
All right. Thank you, Brother Bob. Yes, let's get to a couple more callers here. James.
Yes, Liz, I just wanted to make that one quick comment with the stealing part. With this one definition of stealing, when you take something, but when you take something under arms, that's robbery, and additionally, it's armed criminal action. So the police have a serious problem when they steal something from a person with that pistol.
Yeah, and you don't have to point the pistol,
no,
do you?
The fact that, because if I knew somebody didn't have a gun, I'd stuck them in the jaw and walk on about my business.
There you go. There you go. Thanks for that point, James. Take care. And Irene, we have a whole lot of other stuff that we need to talk about.
It's a lot of stuff going on up in Jefferson City. I mean, I was up there Monday and Tuesday dealing with some other issues, but it's a lot going on. And the number of education bills that are being filed up there. But I said, as a result of the bills that are being filed, I think the St. Louis Public Schools. We're going to get some allies that we would not have thought.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Everybody's losing their minds. Listen, Irene J. Smith, I will see you same time, same place next week.
God willing.
Okay, and coming up, of course, Justice for Reggie and Senator Rita Days is going to be joining us on the phone, along with, of course, Jamala Rogers. Stay with us.
Was shot and was killed tonight. Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Talk to me, sister.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. At least two Iraqi lawmakers are dead after a bomb blast today in the Iraqi Parliament complex. It's located in the highly secured green zone. ABC's Hillary Brown says the big question now is who's responsible.
There'll be a great determination to carry on, you know, with the work of the Parliament. The question is, who did this? It could be the work of Al-Qaeda that wants to sabotage this new fledgling government backed by the United States and closely allied to it, or it could be the work of insurgents who are against the Shia-dominated parliament and who want a greater role for the Sunni minority in the government.
The explosion occurred in a cafe that was crowded with people eating lunch. What happened to spring? Yet another snowstorm pounding parts of the Midwest. It's grounding hundreds of flights at Chicago and Milwaukee's airports, forcing the Cubs to postpone today's game. What the channel meteorologist Wayne Verno says, this kind of thing really isn't that uncommon.
It's not unusual to get these late-season storms. In fact, some of these areas have seen some record snowfall, but it's not uncommon that it does snow in April.
Systems moving east for the weekend. The Pentagon's made it official. The tours of duty for many troops in Iraq will be a little longer. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
Proud applause from the families of the Minnesota National Guard headed to Iraq for what they were told was a one-year tour of duty.
As a mom, it's a scary thing, but I'm very proud of him.
But for troops already there, that tour has been extended by 3 months. A difficult but necessary decision, says Defense Secretary Gates.
Our forces are stretched. There's no question about that.
Military wives like Melissa Torrey say they understand their husbands will be home when the mission is over.
When they do come home, we will be extremely happy.
It's just that it won't be as soon as they thought. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
You can hear Don Imus on the radio today, but you can't see him on TV anymore. MSNBC's pulled the plug on the simulcast of his show. This is ABC News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime, acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage. And I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
You probably read at least one of his books, and maybe you liked it. One of America's most popular contemporary writers, Kurt Vonnegut, is dead at the age of 84. Here's ABC's Richard Cantu.
Vonnegut drew on his experience as a survivor of the Allied firebombing of Dresden to form his most famous work, Slaughterhouse-Five. In 1986, he played himself in Back to School when wealthy doofus Rodney Dangerfield hires a little help with a college paper on Vonnegut.
You haven't even read any of the books.
I tried. I don't understand a word of it.
So how are you going to write the paper then, huh?
Hi, I'm Kurt Vonnegut. I'm looking for Thornton Mellon.
Vonnegut peppered his work with drawings offensive to some. Other titles, Cat's Cradle and Breakfast of Champions. Vonnegut also claimed to purchase his own novels to earn the royalties. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Listerine is recalling 4 million bottles of its cool blue plaque-detecting rinse. They could be contaminated with microorganisms. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, an apparent meth lab explosion has injured a father and daughter. The fire apparently started early yesterday morning in the basement of the family's Festus home. The father and his 11-year-old daughter suffered severe burns and were taken to St. John's Mercy Medical Center. The mother and three other children were also in the home at the time of the explosion, but escaped the blaze safely. Police say that charges of first-degree arson, child endangerment, and production of methamphetamine would be sought against both of the parents. A St. Genevieve man is accused of molesting more children. Prosecutors have charged Billy Huck with sexually abusing six more children. He is now charged with abusing a total of eight kids. Huck's wife ran a daycare center in St. Genevieve until late last month. Police say Huck confessed to molesting 40 children over the last 30 years. He is in jail on $1 million bond. Finally this hour, Scott Rolen is the latest Redbird with injury woes. The Gold Glove third baseman sat out the last two games against the Pirates because of back spasms. Rolen says he noticed some improvement after physical therapy before yesterday's game. However, manager Tony La Russa says he doesn't want to rush Rolen back onto the field. Rolen and the rest of the team will have a day off today before returning to the field tomorrow evening in Milwaukee. This WGNU News report is sponsored by People's Health Center Men's Healthy Happy Hour. Take a few minutes to protect your health. Free PSA tests, diabetes, cholesterol, and blood pressure screenings. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. today. The Men's Healthy Happy Hour at People's Health Centers, 5701 Del Mar. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brangemeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Clarkson at Baxter is closed northbound due to an accident investigation work, apparently a fatality accident on Baxter at Clarkson. Westbound 64 between 25th and the 5570 merge. Look for slow traffic due to a disabled truck. And that's right at the 5570 merge on the right shoulder, so expect delays there. Northbound 55 from Herculane and McNutt through Route M. Look for slow traffic due to an accident in opposing lanes. Southbound 55 between Herculane and Route M. Look for traffic easing due to the accident that was in the opposing, or that southbound is cleared actually at Route M now. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank in the landing list. You can expect slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 270 through McKnight. Look for delays. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Heavy volume there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270 Exchange. Look for delays there as well. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow at the top of that ramp. Westbound 270 from 367 through 170, look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry, look for delays. And then again from Dorset through the 70 exit lanes, look for slow traffic there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, breezy, becoming partly sunny with a high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the morning and occasional showers in the afternoon, highs in the upper 40s. Friday evening, occasional rain, lows in the upper 30s. And Saturday, cloudy, partly with a chance of rain, highs in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 39 under mostly cloudy skies. Wind chill makes it feel like it's 32 degrees. Bundle up if you're headed outside. That is a look at your news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. More with Liz Brown, and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station where the issues matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King,
was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Thursday at 8 o'clock. That means it is Justice for Reggie Thursday. But before we get to that, Howard, what do you say we can do a little bit of that, the teaser from the show in the next hour? I am always excited about Justice for Reggie Thursday, but I am really also really excited about my next hour interview. I'm going to have film director Robert Greenwald. He's going to be joining us from the Pacific Coast. And Deborah Mathis, a wonderful journalist, is going to be joining us also. And we're going to be talking about the Congressional Black Caucus, the CBC Foundation. They have decided that they want to hold some presidential debates. Cool. That sounds really good. That sounds really good. Doesn't it, Jamal? That sounds good. But apparently they're going to be holding it with Fox. And filmmaker, director, producer Robert Greenwald has put together a bunch of comments from Fox TV to demonstrate why on earth would the CBC Foundation, Congressional CBC Foundation, partner up with George Bush doesn't like black people, neither does Fox TV. Check this out.
New information has recently come to light regarding the Trinity Unity Church in Chicago. That's the one that Senator Barack Obama calls home. What they have at this church on their website is, you know, commitment to the black community, commitment to the black family, adherence to the black work ethic. Is it racist, Jesse Lee?
It is absolutely racist.
Are they worshiping Christ? Are they worshiping African things black?
Barack Obama is associated with a racist church.
They really are quite cultish, quite separatist.
Mr. Rushton, I have a question. Are you questioning Barack Obama's Christianity?
Yeah.
Recent police shootings involving African-American victims across the U.S. has led to a string of angry protests from outraged black community members.
And that's just a tease, Jamala. That's a tease for the show we're going to be doing in the next hour. And can you just hear the hate in that?
Oh, definitely. And I do believe Greenwald is the one who did outfoxed.
Outfoxed? He did outfoxed. He also did Walmart, the high cost of low prices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. But there's also, people who are responding to the Congressional Black Caucus's move here, and there's an online petition in opposition to it. There's all kinds of calls going in to members of the caucus. And, you know, I have yet to understand why.
You don't know why? I looked at their financial report. They got about $90,000 from the Fox News Network.
Yeah, but I'm saying $90,000. That's pittance.
Not if that's all it. That's all it takes. If that's all you want, that's enough. If that's all you want, that's enough.
They're getting ready to get $1 million worth of problems with this.
And Edwards has already said that he's not going to participate. And Obama, I'm not sure if he's made
My understanding was all. three of the front candidates said no, they would not.
Well, they did it with once in Arizona. I don't know if they've done it with the Congressional Black Caucus. There was one, a Fox station up in Arizona that was going to have a presidential debate. Oh. They all said no to that. I know that Edwards has said no to this one as well.
Okay.
So there are a couple of there have been a couple of Fox attacks, and Edwards has said no to that one, and I don't know about this one yet. And because of the partnership here, the CBC partnership, people are being quiet, mulling this over a little differently than the other one.
Right.
So, and but talk to us about what we're going to be doing today and on Justice for Reggie.
Well, hopefully we'll get Senator Retta Days on the phone. We're having some difficulty with that now, but Retta Days is has introduced a moratorium bill on the Senate side.
And she's going to explain that.
She's going to explain that and why she's doing that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Hopefully we'll be able to get Senator Retta Days on the phone. She's supposed to be joining us this morning for Justice for Reggie. And FYI, on Tuesday is the swearing-in. Tuesday is the day that the police board commissioners are going to be making a decision about those thieving cops. Well, here's something for you. The St. Louis Area Churches humbly request that you and your family attend a prayer conference for our community and our elected officials on Tuesday, April 17th at City Hall from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. No RSVP necessary. Your presence to pray is sufficient. So be there on a Tuesday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., a prayer conference for our community and our elected officials, St. Louis Community Prayer Conference at City Hall on Tuesday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Stay with us.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. Today is Thursday. That means that it is, and it's 8 o'clock, that means that it is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. And today we are going to be talking locally. We're going to be talking about Senate Bill 439. And to facilitate that conversation about that bill, we have Senator Retta Days joining us from Jefferson City. Senator Days, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm here with Jamala, Senator.
Well, good morning, Jamala. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
And Senator Days, before we get to Senate Bill 439 and what it does, talk to us about the issue of the death penalty, because a lot of elected officials out there kind of try to stay away from this one. Why have you involved yourself in the issue of the death penalty?
Well, I think that the death penalty disproportionately affects people who look like me. And I think that if people who look like me don't attack that, if they don't bring that issue to the forefront, it gets lost. And so I think that if we are to affect how our people are affected by this, no one else will. So when the Missourians to abolish death penalty came to me with this, and I said, certainly, they could not find another sponsor. And I said, I'd be happy to do that, knowing that it probably wouldn't go anywhere. But I said, I think the conversation needs to be had.
And talk to us about Senate Bill 439.
Well, actually, the Senate bill creates a 10-member commission that is to study the death penalty in Missouri, and it's supposed to hold public hearings and look at all aspects of the death penalty as it is administered here in Missouri. We're going to look at all the cases that have come forth that have sought the death penalty. They are going to look at the counties that these death penalties came out of, the prosecution. It needs to look at the kind of counsel that they had. Was it public defenders? Were these folks able to get private attorneys? It's actually supposed to look at the entire death penalty system. And while it's doing that, there is a moratorium. So in other words, no death penalty cases can be can move forward, or no death penalties can be executed until after this commission has completed its work.
And also the bill talks about considering the experience and the training levels required by the Supreme Court. What is that and why is that?
The experience level of the Supreme Court is that's the highest court in the land, and of course these folks are put there by the governors, and so you have to go back and look at the kinds of cases that they have had and the number of death penalties they have sought, because that kind of experience is going to carry them through at the Supreme Court. It's not as if they're going to get to the Supreme Court and then their opinions are going to change about the death penalty. So we really need to look back at their histories and the cases they've had in order to see how that will move forward in the Supreme Court.
And there's also a reporting component to this. What is that?
Well, absolutely. When the commission gets its findings, it is supposed to be reported to the governor, to the Supreme Court, and to the General Assembly. And we had that to be done by 2011. So, you know, without, and of course, this bill, if it passes, will be going into effect in August of 2007. So that will give them approximately 4 years to get this information together and report it to us.
And the racial disparity piece of this, that's a very critical component, isn't it?
Well, it's racial, and it's also economics. Liz, we look at the people on death row, and I find very few people of wealth on death row. And most of the people who are there look like me and are poor people. And so, therefore, you know, if the adage is that you get the best defense money can buy, well, we can't afford that. And so that's why we get the brunt end of that every time it comes to the death penalty.
And, again, this act would prevent any would prohibit any executions during this period of time from August 28, 2007 to January 1st, 2011.
That is correct. That is correct, because while you're studying it and looking at it, you don't need to proceed until you get some information to actually say, this, you know, this is what we're doing and why we're doing it, and it needs to move forward or it doesn't. So I included that as part of that so that we can just have a stay on all executions until this report is done.
And Jamal and I have been looking at the and examining the atmosphere and the stomach, if you will, for death penalty cases all across this country and even all across the world. And we've talked about and we've documented how that the attitude towards the death penalty is changing. People are taking another look at it based on what Governor Ryan did in Illinois, DNA cases, people, innocent people on death row. What is the, how would you describe the atmosphere in Jefferson City? Is it different this year, Senator Days, than it has been in the past?
I don't think it's any different than it has been, and I will say that because my bill hasn't even had a hearing. So I don't see, and then if you will also look at the bill, there were no Republicans who signed onto this bill at all. They had tried to get in, and you do that because they are in the majority, and if you really want your bill to move forward, you would try to get a sponsor that is of the majority party. And no one would do that in the majority party, and so I took it on, but knowing that it would probably not go anywhere because of that issue. And so I don't see the attitude changing very much here. It's pretty much is, you know, lock them up and throw away the key. And if it's such a heinous crime, then, you know, execute.
Well, it's interesting that on the House side, there was Bill Deacon who stepped forward to be a sponsor who is with the majority party.
That is correct. And I don't know if he's had a hearing.
He's had a hearing. Oh, yeah, he's had a hearing. We went down there and testified. And in fact, we are actually one vote away from getting it out of committee. And so we'll be working real hard on a couple of folks who are sort of on the fence. But I don't know what that will do on the House side if it does pass out of committee when there's no bill that's moving on the Senate side.
And that's generally how you do this, so that whichever bill is moving and moving quickly, you know, you kind of latch on to that one. But if his bill has not come out of committee and mine hasn't even been heard, that kind of tells you the fate of this piece of legislation.
Senator Days, what committee would this, would your bill, is your bill, would your bill come out of?
No, it didn't. It is not. It was, I'm trying to see which bill was it referred to. You know what? It might not have even been referred. Liz, as I'm looking through my paperwork here.
And explain to us what that means. Explain to us what that means.
That means that I have, and I think this bill was pre-filed. I'm pretty sure all my legislation was pre-filed.
It was.
December 1, this went into the hopper to be referred to a committee. And it looks like it just kind of sat there. I don't think the pro tem referred it to any committee at all, which means it just, it's a piece of legislation that just kind of sits there.
It's going to die on the vine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
When you, surely, Senator, surely, how many senators do we have out there?
We have 34 senators.
And surely one more senator out there, one more senator that looks like you out there that is willing to sign up on this.
Well, we had most of my Democratic colleagues signed on to the bill, both of the Caucasian and Black, but they were all of my party. There's not one that that was from the Republican Party that signed on to this piece of legislation, and so that's just where it is. I can't really tell you the rationale other than we don't really want to address this issue.
But in addressing this issue, Senator Days, you're asking for a whole lot of light to be shown upon the criminal justice system.
Correct. In my opinion, if you don't have anything to hide, if you feel that everything is going well and you have complete justification of what is happening here, it should not be an issue for you to look at this and formulate the commission and say, well, let's just make sure that we're on the right track. You mentioned something a little earlier about DNA and other things that have come forward, and those are new technologies.
And Senator, can you hold that thought, please, because we have to take a break here.
Sure.
Talking to Senator Rita Days. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and we're discussing Senate Bill 439, an act that requires a 10-member commission to study the death penalty in Missouri. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 from Route M through Z. Look for traffic easing just south of M now. Westbound 64, 25th and 5570 merge. Look for no problems to report. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and 170. That traffic is easing now. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Still slow traffic in the left lanes. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Big Bend. Look for stalls clear to Gravois. Expect slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Look for heavy volume still at this hour. Northbound 55 from Herculane and McNutt through Route M. Look for traffic easing due to an accident in the opposing lanes. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to breezy, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, then occasional showers in the afternoon, highs in the upper 40s. Friday evening, occasional rain, lows in the upper 30s. Saturday, cloudy, a chance of rain with a high in the upper 40s. Currently, we've got 39 degrees and cloudy skies at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 32 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that this show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. Also, check out lizbrown.com. That's lizzbrown.com for any shows that you may have missed. Go back and get them, enjoy them, and also know that this show is broadcast live on the World Wide Web. You know that everything that we say is being heard all over the world. Our guest this morning is Senator Rita Days. She is joining us this morning from Jefferson City, and I'm here, of course, with Jamala Rogers, and we're talking about Senate Bill 439. And Jamala, did you have a question?
Well, I was curious that one of the things that we were hearing in Jeff City is that perhaps the bill could go somewhere if the moratorium piece was off the table. And I thought that was kind of unusual. So here you have a study, but you want to keep killing people not even willing to see what the outcome of the findings were. And so,
have you heard that, Senator Days? Is that something that's percolating out there in Senator Land?
No, that has not come across to me at all. There has been little, if any, conversation, you know, around this bill. And as we were with the while you were doing your other business there, I did look at the bill, and it has not been referred. If you look at the top of the bill, its first time read was February 5th, 2007, and order printed, and that's it. And so it has not been referred to any committee at all. But I think that that's merely a smokescreen. I think that that folks will, you know, push those kind of little caveats and say, oh, well, if this weren't there, if this was not there, you know, we could do something with that. And I just think that's a smokescreen.
And when we look at something as volatile as the death penalty, Senator Days, what should you recommend that citizens do to push this? Because does public pressure help push something like this, or would it?
I am a firm believer that as you talk to your senators and representatives, it's important that you talk to your own senators and representatives. Now, we happen to be from an area, St. Louis area, that most of our colleagues do not agree with the death penalty. That would be just a cursory look at the people who I work with. But you know, you have a lot of rural area people that you know, believe that this only affects, of course, people in the urban areas, and that therefore they are not really concerned about this. But I think that talking to your own legislator, letting them know how important this is to you, and relating it to constituents in their area, I believe that's the best way to lobby. Because when someone talks to me and they live in my district and they can vote for me, I'm more inclined to pay attention to those folks than somebody calling me from Mexico, Missouri, or somewhere like that. So I think it's important that if you can get the legislators in those areas on board with this and have your folks talk to them, I think that's helpful.
I know that the family of Reggie Clemens lives in your district, and obviously this is a case that would benefit from a moratorium. Are there any other cases in the district that would fall under this purview?
Not that I'm aware of right offhand. And, of course, this has been a very high-profile one. I remember Mr. Amrine, and I believe he was from the Kansas City area. But I cannot right off the top of my head think of anyone else in my district that is affected by this right now.
And I want to go back, if I can, Senator Days, to the observation of what this bill would do, to a discussion about what this bill would do. This bill is asking for a review and analysis of data concerning the where the case took place and whether or not there was racial discrimination used, who got what, when, and how. This would really be opening up a can of worms.
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, even to the point of looking at people who might have had some kind of mental retardation,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, issues like that, many times folks just really don't want to pay attention. They just really don't want to look at this. And so,
they don't want to see it, because it's one of those things. It's kind of like when you get on the Internet, you think you're going in a direct area, and you end up going all these other different places. If you open this up, we will be going to a whole lot of different places. Looking at what the juries have been selected. There will be patterns that will be inescapable about how justice is implemented in the state.
And I think that at the top of the heap will be the prosecutorial discretion.
Mm.
And that will be absolutely just phenomenal to look at that and look at how they decide, because that's the basis for it right there. Who decides that they're going to seek the death penalty? And that's the prosecutor.
And when you gather the stats up, because you, I, and Jamala have a firm belief of what they use to decide, but that's our belief right now. When you gather the statistics, then you would have the statistics to support our belief, and then changes would have to be made.
Correct. And all you have to do is look to Illinois. It's not that far away. And I was absolutely just ecstatic when Governor Ryan, you know, said, you know, something is not right here. And we need to look at this before we move forward. And I thought that that was a tremendous step for him to take, knowing that, you know, what could come out of this. And so that's probably has something to do with his issues right now that he's facing. But that's another issue altogether.
And Senator Days, the law of the land is the death penalty. So so to be clear about your position, on a national level, you oppose the death penalty as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that Missouri and the nation, it's all together. It's all connected. And 50 states need to be on board with this. And if you find that, you have to look at the data before you can make that decision. And we have not done that. And so until you do that, you cannot say categorically that this is the best way to handle those kinds of cases and there is no discrimination and then to move forward. But until you actually look at the data, you simply go on your gut feeling. And right now, gut feeling is killing a lot of our people.
And not only a gut feeling, but we know that it's happened in other states. The states that have looked at the data, the states that have taken the time to crunch the numbers, support our gut feeling. So,
right.
You know, so all we're just a state away from a state that has gathered some of the data. So that we need to gather the data. Senator Days, is it the problem of connecting this to the death penalty? What if there were a bill that wanted to look at this data for serious crimes, for other kinds of serious crimes? Do you think we would be able to get something like that passed?
That is a thought. I really have not thought about that. And that may be something that we need to consider as a mini step to what we need to do at this point.
Because if we could get those,
I'll have to think about that one.
Because if we could get those numbers for that may, like you said, it might be the mini step that would say, oh well, shoot, if this is happening with non-death penalty murders, then good Lord, what is happening with the death penalty murders?
Right, and so that's a good thought. I have not thought about that, but I think that's something that we need to look at. And you know, I'll be happy to talk with Jamala and the others from the coalition to look and see if there's a mini step that we can take. We know this is a long process. I mean, nothing happens overnight in terms of legislation, and so we have to look at the long term goals of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Well, I know that over the course of since the death penalty was reinstituted in Missouri, there have been a number of studies, whether it be looking at when prosecutors call for it. So it seems to me that there's already a body of work that we could draw from or that the commission could draw from because there were at least many years where Missouri was two or three in the country for killing. And so it was under that time period that people were coming to Missouri studying and looking at all of the data. So I just think that there is enough there for folks to say it's already been started. There's been books written about, you know, Missouri and the death penalty. That is at least a starting point for us.
And it's not as if you have to reinvent the wheel. That's the important thing about this. There is, as you said, beginning data collections on how this thing is done and what it looks like. And so just picking that up and moving forward with that would be a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And when we look at the numbers off the top, Jamala, we can say that, like most other states out there, if not all other states out there, there's a disproportionate number of people of African descent that are sitting on death rows all across this country.
Yeah, and the other piece of it, Liz, which may be the most frightening part for the Senate, is that the cases where there was a moratorium and then the commission had looked at it, they had to end the death penalty because the findings were so compelling. And I'm just wondering if that's the fear that the Senate has, is that if they do the study, they will have no choice but to have a moratorium indefinitely or to abolish the death penalty.
A permanent ban.
Exactly.
As we've had before. And, you know, and I can't say any administration or another administration, you know, is more prone to this. I think when we reinstated the death penalty, I think it was under Democratic control.
That's correct.
I believe that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we have to just really, I think we have to be persistent in this. But again, it's opening up a whole can of worms that these folks really don't want to look at, and they don't want to look and be perceived as being discriminatory. You know, and as long as you don't have the data, as long as you don't have the information there, they can hide behind, oh, no, that's not who we are. But until you actually put that data out there and say, this is the case, then that's what we'll have. They're hiding.
And we're going to take a quick break here, Senator. And when we come back, I'd like to have a conversation about what the Senate could possibly do with respect to a Dr. Death type of a person being involved in the executions here in the state of Missouri. We are talking to Senator Rita Days. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news,
or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers and some bookkeeping matters before we get back to our guest, Senator Rita Days. I want to thank our sponsors for the Justice for Reggie Thursday, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. We appreciate your sponsorship, and we wouldn't be able to do it without it. And I want to give everybody a heads up for the next hour show. I'm going to be talking to film director, producer Robert Greenwald. He's going to be joining us from the Pacific Coast, and journalist Deborah Mathis is going to be joining me this morning as well. We're going to be talking about the Congressional Black Caucus, the foundation that they are partnering with Fox News to hold some presidential debates. And we've all seen the T-shirts. George Bush doesn't like black people. Fox News doesn't like black people either. Check this out.
I think these civil rights leaders are nothing more than racist. They're keeping their neighborhoods and their African-American brothers enslaved, if you will, by continuing to let them think that they're, or force them to think that they're victims, that the whole system is against them. Articulate it better, Sean. It's so sad to me.
We can't even say you're articulate. We can't even give you guys compliments.
Half of the kids in this country under 5 years old are minorities. White people are having fewer. Put it bluntly, we need more babies.
We need more babies. Those are just some of the words from Fox News. So the question is, should the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation be partnering, and why would they partner with Fox News? We're going to be discussing that in the next hour with a film director, Outfox, also Walmart, the high cost of low prices, Robert Greenwald, and then also Deborah Mathis will be joining me for that discussion. And right now I'd like to get back to Senator Rita Days. We're talking about justice for Reggie. And Jamala, you wanted to ask Senator Days a question about what I raised on the way out.
Yeah, on the way out, Liz raised the whole question of how do we guard against another Dr. Death who was responsible for administering the lethal injection cocktail, and we find out that he's dyslexic, he's been barred, from hospitals. But, you know, I told Liz during the break that there is House Bill 820 passed out of committee, and that is specifically designed to conceal the identity of whoever is going to administer that. Are you familiar with that bill?
No, I'm not familiar with that bill. I'm not sure where that is in the House, but there's not a companion bill in the Senate that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But I did read articles about the doctor that administered that, and just absolutely horrendous that you'd have someone doing that who is absolutely not qualified. You wouldn't want him to do anything else with your body in terms of your medical condition, and yet you're putting that person in charge of a lethal injection.
And then
it's ridiculous.
And then also the concealment piece of it, Senator Days. I mean, that there would be legislation introduced to make certain that we would never find out that nobody in America would want this man in the room with him as a doctor.
Which means that he would probably be the same doctor and you just wouldn't know it.
There you go. There you go.
And I think that's our biggest fear, that he would continue to be hired, first of all, because he can't find anyone else to do it.
That's correct.
And so I think that's really where the bill emanated from.
And, yes, they want to make sure that there's the secret, that the shining the light on this thing just opens up so many other things that we haven't even probably considered. As we, you know, you've dealt with this for a number of years, Jamala, but opening this thing up to a commission and looking at all the aspects of this, you know, it would probably turn this state upside down.
And also we have this other companion issue percolating out there, Senator Days. What's going on with the Public Defenders Commission? What's going on with the workload for the public defenders out there? We have that issue, which to me makes it even more paramount that we do a moratorium right now, because the public defender system, which is the best entity out there to represent people for the death penalty because of their expertise, they're overworked, they're overloaded, they have more cases than what they're. In fact, we had a statement from the public defender, the head of the public defender system, saying, we're not taking any more cases.
Exactly. It's money. These folks are the lowest paid. You know, why would you stay in the public defender system when you could perhaps go to a law firm and make, you know, three and four times as much money? You know, you're dealing with the worst cases ever. It's a horrible, horrible system, and we have not dedicated the kinds of resources to that system that we need. And these, of course, are the vulnerable people, people with no money. And I go back and I say, you get the best defense that money can buy.
And so that's yet another reason why we need a moratorium, because the people that are working the hardest, that do have the expertise, don't have the resources to defend people. So how in good conscience can we stand by and say that the system is working when the front line of defense has already said it's not working?
It's ridiculous. Absolutely. You cannot look at the number of cases that these folks have and how much time do they actually have to spend on somebody whose life they're trying to save. They don't have the time to do that or the resources. So it's just one thing after another. And as I said, as this thing evolves, it just keeps opening up like a petal on a rose. You just have things that just start opening up and all the leaves are flying off of it.
But I think the point that you made, Senator Days, about constituents calling their elected officials on the state level and saying, we need this kind of bill. And right now, House Bill 445 is on the House side. Your bill is on the Senate side. Senate
439.
Bill 439. They need to be calling their state reps, their state senators, and saying, we want you all to push this bill, not just, passively support it, but it's going to take that kind of pushing and that kind of energy before people understand that that's something that it means something to folks on this side of the state and hopefully on even throughout the state.
Absolutely. And I will tell you this, until more people who don't look like us start getting the death penalty, the impetus for change is not there, because they look at this as a black issue. They look at this as, these are not people in my neighborhood, and these are people from the inner cities, and this is what they need and deserve. That's the attitude. And until that changes, until you can see another side of this and making folks who represent these folks look at another side of this, this is what we're going to continue to ask.
And the fact of the matter is that it's going to be incumbent upon us to come up with the creative ways, to come up with the relentless ways to make a change in this.
And you have to continue, because the goal is to wear you down until you give up, mm-hmm. And we can't afford to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Senator Rita Days, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
On Justice for Reggie.
Absolutely.
And thank you for your work in the House, the Senate.
I'll be looking to hear from you very shortly.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, Jamal, anything coming up that we need to, any bookkeeping we need to take care of before we end the hour out?
No, I think next week, we will report on some of the things that came out of the campaign meeting. And, we are also in the midst of trying to confirm a special guest. So this has been quite a month. The week after that, we'll be having family members for Donald Jones, who this will be his second anniversary of his execution. And if people remember, DJ was the young man who killed his grandmother,
mm-hmm.
in a drug-induced craze,
mm-hmm.
And his family absolutely
begged
the governor
D. Joyce Hayes
mm-hmm. not to give the death penalty.
The family begged him, and she said, so what? We're killing him anyway.
Yeah, and
we're
killing
him anyway.
And so there you have it. And usually the family's word means a lot, but it seems like that's only if they are for the death penalty.
There you go.
So we'll be having that later on in the month. But we need people to keep getting those petitions signed. If you have a business person, an elected official, head of an organization, we'd like for you to join our list of influentials who support Reggie's struggle for justice. But, the struggle continues.
And don't forget about the St. Louis Community Prayer Conference. St. Louis area churches humbly request that you and your family attend a prayer conference for our community and our elected officials, Tuesday, April 17th at City Hall, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. No reservation is necessary. Your presence to pray is sufficient. And that's the same day that Lewis Reed is going to be sworn in as our first African president of the Board of Aldermen. Yahoo! Congratulations to Lewis. And also, that's the day that the police board is going to be making their decision about whether or not we keep cops that steal on the force. That's the question. Do we keep them or do we let them go? And believe it or not, They're struggling with the answer to that. That's going to happen on the 17th as well. Shamala, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
All right, and I'll see you same time, same place.
Same time, same place.
All right, I'm looking forward to the next hour. We're going to have Deborah Mathis and Robert Greenwald, director, producer, movie maker, to talk about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation and their partnership with what? Fox? We'll be back. Stay with us.
There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A lunchtime explosion in Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone. At least three people are dead, one a member of the Iraqi parliament. More from ABC's Hillary Brown in Baghdad.
The explosion took place inside the cafeteria of the parliament building at lunchtime when it would have been crowded with lots of members of parliament eating lunch. So far, there are two confirmed dead, both Sunni parliamentarians, one man, one woman. There are no U.S. citizens affected, the U.S. Embassy tells us.
At least 10 other people were wounded. The Pentagon is extending the tours for many U.S. troops in Iraq. They'll now be there 15 months, and some congressional Democrats want to know why.
In the wake of the Army decision to extend deployments for a full 15 months in Iraq, Democratic leaders blame the president for burdening the troops and their families. The White House has urged quick passage of $100 billion more for Iraq so deployments don't have to go even longer.
It's ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The charges are history, but the damage has already been done to three former members of the Duke University lacrosse team who, until yesterday, were accused in a high-profile rape case. One of the defense attorneys says it'll be pretty hard for any of them to lead a normal life.
People are going to have to forgive. We live in the Google age where you can find out everything about people, and I think it'll be hard for these boys not to be scarred.
Two of the three opted not to return to school. Writer Kurt Vonnegut liked to think of himself as a religious skeptic and a free-thinking humanist who did not like censorship.
I'm offended as an American citizen. It distresses me deeply that ideas are not to be circulated freely in this country if certain persons have their way.
The author of Slaughterhouse-Five and a number of other contemporary novels has died. He was 84 years old. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is down 57 points. The Nasdaq is off 6. This is ABC News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime, acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage. And I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Even Don Imus is now saying his days on the air may be numbered.
Sometimes it doesn't snow on Christmas.
That's how he described a pretty gloomy meeting with his bosses at CBS Radio. He's been suspended for 2 weeks for making some now infamous comments about the Rutgers University women's basketball team. And he found out yesterday that MSNBC will no longer carry his show simulcast on TV. It's not the real thing, but it's called cocaine, and the government is not amused. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt.
Driving that train.
Cocaine, the energy drink, contains no actual cocaine, but the FDA says it's got to go. The makers of the beverage have been told by the Food and Drug Administration they're illegally marketing cocaine, the drink, as a drug, making health claims they're not entitled to make. The company insists their product is not a drug, though they admit maybe they were naive in the way they've been marketing cocaine as the legal alternative, speed in a can and instant rush. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandsmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a woman is dead after being jailed for traffic violations. The family of 30-year-old LaVonda Kimball says that they don't believe she received proper medical attention. Kimball suffered from chronic asthma and sickle cell anemia. She had been arrested on Tuesday for failing to appear in court for two traffic violations. LaVonda's mother says that she talked to her daughter on the phone and says corrections officers would not permit LaVonda to use her inhaler. LaVonda was pronounced dead early yesterday morning. The St. Louis School Board is considering a challenge to the state takeover of the district. They are scheduled to meet in a special session at 10 o'clock this morning. A three-person panel is expected to take control of the district in June. However, the resolution on today's agenda challenges the authority of the transitional board. The board may consider a lawsuit to stop the takeover. The board members will also vote on potentially removing Veronica O'Brien as president of the school board. O'Brien has been criticized for her leadership of the board and her disputes with Superintendent Diana Borisaw. Finally this hour, the Rams won't be playing any Monday Night Football in the coming season. The NFL released their regular season schedule yesterday, and St. Louis was excluded from the primetime broadcast for the first time since 1999. Barring late season changes, the team's only primetime exposure will be on Thursday, December 20th against the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Edward Jones Dome. The Rams season kicks off at noon on September 9th when they host the Carolina Panthers at the Dome. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp will be closed until 3 p.m. today, so find an alternate. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge through Clarkson Valley is looking good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Highway K, no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from just east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44 is looking good. Northbound 270 at 70, look for some slowdowns in the right lane, but otherwise it should be okay. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, 255 interchange is on the move. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge all the way into the 270 exchange. No problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Westbound 5570 is looking good from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, breezy, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 50 this evening, partly cloudy until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy, low in the lower 30s. Then for Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers throughout the day with a high in the 40s. Friday evening, occasional rain, lows in the upper 30s. And then Saturday, partly cloudy to cloudy skies with a chance of rain, highs in the upper 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 38 degrees, overcast skies. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 31, so bundle up if you're headed outside. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. Up next, more with the award-winning Wake Up Call and your host, Liz Brown, Riveting Radio with Liz Brown, right here on AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk
to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think these civil rights leaders are nothing more than racist. They're keeping their neighborhoods and their African-American brothers enslaved, if you will, by continuing to let them think that they're, or force them to think that they're victims, that the whole system is against them. Articulate it better, Sean. It's so sad to me.
We can't even say you're articulate. We can't even give you guys compliments.
Half of the kids in this country under 5 years old are minorities. White people are having fewer. Put it bluntly, we need more babies.
What the hell?
I dealt with people like this for 20 years.
We're listening to little clips from Fox News. Does that sound like somebody that gives a hoot about people of African descent? Should we be saying the same thing about Fox News that Kanye West so eloquently said about George W. Bush? He don't care about black people. Well, neither does Fox News. We're going to talk about that. Why? Because the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, has a relationship with Fox News, has entered into a partnership with Fox News. We're going to talk about this. And my first guest this hour to deconstruct this, to dissect this, and to analyze this is Deborah Mathis. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Deborah, good morning.
Hello there, Liz. It's been too long.
It has been too long. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
You know, it just seems like we don't talk and things just explode out
they
here.
Go to pieces.
Okay, they just go to pieces. I don't, if it's not Imus, if it's Richardson, it's all of this stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it all comes out.
Yes, it does.
Some point.
Well, let's go home here. Let's talk about the Congressional Black Caucus before we talk about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, Inc.
Yes.
Who are the Congressional Black Caucus?
Well, the Congressional Black Caucus was founded back in the 70s when they first had enough numbers. I think they started with about 13 or something like that. All the black members of the U.S. Congress at that time, of course, we're just talking about the House, decided it would be a good idea to band together to form a subsidiary group. You know, the Congress is full of all these caucuses. There's a caucus for people who want to defend coffee makers, for example.
Out of Iraq Now. Out of Iraq Now caucus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whatever your special interest may be, your common special interest, it can, bring you across party lines even for that. In this case, it was supposed to be, you know, issues of particular interest to the black community and trying to advance black causes that brought them together, because they were the first real group since Reconstruction to, you know, form any kind of a mass of blackness on Capitol Hill, so they came together for that, and they've been growing ever since. They famously invited J.C. Watts, who was the lone black Republican in Congress a few years ago.
Turns out to be the only one.
Exactly. They invited him to join, and he famously or infamously declined to join. And so that's been the one exception to their pretty solid record of having gotten every black member of the House and the Senate, which is always only one, if any at all, to be a member of the Congressional Black Caucus to advance these causes.
And the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, who are they?
They are pretty much the fundraising arm for the Congressional Black Caucus. You know, they put on the huge party seminar, symposium every year that happens in Washington called the Legislative Weekend, when people from political life all over the country, from the, you know, the dog catcher in somebody's local town to the city council president or whatever, come to Washington to be a part of this. They have all these workshops and lots of speakers. It's star-studded, lots of parties and events. So, you know, and that raises money for scholarships and other purposes.
And we're going to take a break here. I'm talking to Deborah Mathis. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about how much it costs to rent the Congressional Black Caucus, because Fox Show has. We'll be back with this discussion. Stay with us.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking about this morning. They're talking about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. My guest this hour is Deborah Mathis, and Robert Greenwald, Director Robert Greenwald, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And we're talking about the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. And, Deborah, can we talk about the Congressional Black Caucus and their decision to partner up with Fox? How did that happen? Do we know?
I don't know exactly, you know, the mechanics of how it came to be, but I can say this, that, and let me correct one thing. It's the Congressional Black Caucus Institute, which is yet another affiliate or piece of the Congressional Black Caucus. What they do, they're the educational arm.
So we have the Congressional Black Caucus, we have the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, and we have the Congressional Black Caucus Institute.
That, I believe, is correct.
Okay.
And so this is the one that the institute is the one that is doing this. And it's my understanding that, you know, if everybody kind of wants to get in on the act, as Jimmy Durante used to say, for those of you old enough to remember Jimmy Durante, everybody wants to get in on the act. So when it comes to presidential sweepstakes, everybody wants to be a player.
Absolutely.
A player. So naturally, the Congressional Black Caucus wants to get in on some of the action, especially this year, I would think.
With Barack Obama.
With Barack Obama. And with Hillary Clinton, too, first mm-hmm. woman, you know, taken seriously and all that. So I think that, you know, that it's a right time for them. The problem is that, you know, they don't own a television network like most groups don't. So they have to partner with those who do. Whether Fox came to them or they went to Fox, I don't know. But at any rate, they brokered a deal so that they will be the named sponsors of two of the presidential
debates
mm-hmm. in 2008. One Republican, one Democrat, with Fox, and they're going to do two, one Republican, one Democrat, with CNN as well. Now, the CNN deal has not caused any controversy that I know of. The Fox deal has blown up. Why? Because of Fox's reputation as a network full of people who have been disrespectful, dismissive, and all other kinds of disses to black people and black interests and black issues. And so the idea of cutting a deal with people who have spit in your face is just repulsive to most people. Now, I take to heart some of the cautions, like my great friend Earl Afari Hutchinson, who has been writing, you know, well, look, this is business, and they need the money, and they know that Fox can deliver the money because Fox, love them or hate them, and most of us are the latter, I think. You know, they make the money. They bring in the bucks.
Yeah, but didn't your grandmama and your mom and your daddy and your grandpa tell you that all money ain't good money?
Thank you. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I understand, yes, if you want to say, if you abide by the principle that, you know, the money sense of it makes sense of everything else, then, yeah, I hear you on that. But I don't abide by that. Some of us would still rather be broke and rather be poor and rather not have something than have the dirty money.
And all of us could be a whole lot richer if we decide, if we tossed out our morals and did a myriad of things.
We all know where the corner is.
Okay.
It's not that we don't have any geographical knowledge. We know where the corner is.
We know where it is.
We choose not to go
there
to the corner.
Go. There you go.
And would rather, you know, go scrub the floor, do whatever else there is, than go to the corner.
There you go. And the other piece of this is, this is becoming an amazing year, Deborah, in light of the IMUS thing, because the IMUS thing raised the question prior to the MSNBC cancellation of its program. Are you going to go on this show with this man who has said that? That's the same type of question, right?
Well, I've been wondering this for the longest time, why people compartmentalize things, why people, because I watch the IMUS show almost every morning, partly because I couldn't believe some of the times it was definitely entertaining, I'll put it that way. There were a couple of times when I thought I was going to hurt myself. I was so angry over what I had heard said, with them laughing all the way. And to me, the real culprit in that thing, the greater culprit, is that guy, Bernard McGurk, his producer, who is just a race-baiting hater.
Oh, he's a foul, racist man.
There's been
man.
No apology from him. He's
nope.
been hiding under Imus' skirts this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, truth be told, when you hear Don Imus say, "I did not say that about Gwen Ifill," that is, refer to her as a cleaning lady or a maid, he's telling the truth. I was watching that day. Bernard McGurk called her a maid. And he is not man enough now to come out from under Don Imus' skirts and stand up and say, "That was me." So, you know, part of me says, let's be fair and level-headed about this thing. And the other thing says, to hell with them.
Mm-hmm.
To hell with them. Let them just go on and go down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I say let's be fair about it is because I really do believe this would have been, I do believe he would have made good on his promise to open up this discussion. And he would do it in a raw way, which is the way it needs to be done. Because when Bill Clinton initiated his race initiative back in 96 or 94 or whenever that was, it was so polite. There was a blue ribbon task force. There were study commissions.
Blah.
There were all these things.
Blah,
and,
blah,
you know,
blah.
People in suits showed up and, you know, said what they thought and espoused their theories and et cetera, et cetera. You know, we need to pull the scab off this sucker
mm-hmm.
so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he would have done that. And I would have liked to see what would come from that. The other thing, too, is that it would have exposed what is really a really sad level of kind of low-grade hypocrisy that goes on with these companies like NBC and all that don't have enough black people on, that don't have enough black people in power, that don't give voice to this, but now feel like they've done something holy. And really, they have not dealt with their own beliefs, because we all know that Don Imus may have said it, but millions think it.
And the other piece of it also is that if Don Imus is as easy in this conversation as he was in saying nappy-headed hoes, that was easy. He didn't have to dig deep. It was
there.
Know what he has said to employees at that station, at that company. Know what he says all the time and that he has been allowed to get away with.
But see, here's where I tell people all the time to think about the real implications of this. You know, I don't, maybe it's because I was raised the way I was, maybe it's because of the age I am, I don't know. But I don't give a damn about making any more new friends. That's fine. You don't like me for whatever reason, okay, that's fine. But you know what? What does bother me is when your attitude affects my opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that we are all nappy-headed hoes, that we are irresponsible, that we are lousy for some reason, that we're immoral, whatever the thing may be, whether you say it or not, you're not going to hire me, are you? When that job comes to open, I'm not going to be the one that gets the call back, am I?
Mm-hmm.
And then that means my family doesn't get the benefits of my being gainfully employed, et cetera, et cetera, and there goes life. So that's where it really, I always say what it does to policy.
Absolutely. And people always try to twist the conversation into you trying to be, I'm trying to be your friend. No, I don't care. I don't care about that kind of relationship. I care about whether or not I'm going to be able to get a job as a result of the hate and the lies that you spew out about me.
That's
and,
right.
And
I
have,
always
and,
say that I only care to the degree that you exercise any kind of power over me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so.
And
so
we also have to be honest about that.
I hate you. I won't even turn around and look, see who he is.
Okay. And we also have to be honest about and logical about a person that looks at African children, girls, and distinguishes them, because he didn't say all of the players. He didn't talk about the white players. He said the nappy-headed players.
That's right.
A person who said, we
know
who he's talking about.
We
know who he's talking about. So a person that calls me, my daughters, my aunts, my cousins, nappy-headed hoes, we have to have the conversation about, would you ever hire me? Of course you wouldn't.
Exactly.
Of course you wouldn't
exactly.
If you see me like that.
Yeah, what would you entrust me with? Someone that you think of in this regard.
When you see my skin color, you say nappy-headed hoe.
Right.
Are you gonna
I'm gonna get the promotion?
Am I gonna get the job?
the nappy-headed hoe is gonna get the job?
Of course not.
Wow.
Of course not. I'm
well,
and I'm
how
supposed
right
to
of you.
I'm supposed
well,
to believe
let,
that you're gonna set that aside.
Yes. Well, can I say this too about the whole hoe thing, Liz?
Mm-hmm.
Is that here's why I disagree with my sweet friend Al Sharpton, who has kind of brushed off the whole and I understand why, because there is a temptation to kind of move the argument over the blame, shift the blame over to somebody else.
Ina said it was black people's fault. He made it clear. He said it's your fault.
Right.
Y'all said it.
But here's what I also say too. You know, we're getting so upset about another white man who thinks this way, who says this way about us. who says it's about our women, about our females, about our girls. But you know what? The idea that black boys who come from black women can say that about us kills.
But here's the other piece of it too. Let us go up the ladder here, because I know a lot of those young men have introduced other songs they want to sing, and the people that are paying them are saying that, well, no, I ain't gonna do that song. Now
it is a tangled mess.
Yes, it is.
It's a tangled mess.
And
right.
We'll be back. More conversation with Deborah Mathis and director Robert Greenwald is going to be joining us. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? Dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we are having a conversation about the Congressional Black Caucus Institute, and I'm having this conversation with Deborah Mathis, columnist, journalist, joining us from Washington, D.C., and we have now joining us from Los Angeles, Robert Greenwald, producer, director, Brave New Films, joining us again from L.A. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
May we take a moment and listen to the, you put together a piece, and it's, people can find it on a YouTube, Fox Attacks Black America. And we've taken the liberty of recording that, and I want people to hear some of the things that you put together, Robert. Can we take a minute and listen to some of that?
Sure.
Okay, let's hear that.
I think these civil rights leaders are nothing more than racist. They're keeping their neighborhoods and their African American brothers enslaved, if you will, by continuing to let them think that they're, or force them to think that they're victims, that the whole system is against them. Articulate it better, Sean. It's so sad to me.
Well, we can't even say you're articulate. We can't even give you guys compliments.
Half of the kids in this country under 5 years old are minorities. White people are having fewer. Put it bluntly, we need more babies.
I dealt with people like this for 20 years. They will get up every day, they will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC.
Crime is and out of wedlock birth, black folks having babies without being married and stuff like that is out of control. And it's not because they lack material things, but because not all,
right.
But most of them lack moral character. Look what they did to the Dome. In 3 days, they turned the Dome into a ghetto.
The reason that he's considered such a big deal is simply because he's black.
He is a black candidate surrounding himself with a lot of white advisors.
He represents some sort of hope of bringing us all together anyway. And again, I think the only reason that looks plausible is because we see something about his being brown that creates that. It's almost like he's mammy.
As it relates to Kramer in this, Kramer used the N-word repeatedly. Does that bother you?
No, that doesn't bother me. Black folk, especially racist black, have the freedom of expression when it comes to the issue of race and morality. But white folks are made to be quiet.
We always love having you. Appreciate it. Proud
Thank
to be
you.
On your board at Bond. Thank you. New information has recently come to light regarding the Trinity Unity Church in Chicago. And that's the one that Senator Barack Obama.
And that's just a bit. Every time I hear this, Robert, it just my jaw just drops to the ground. Talk to us about putting together this piece.
Well, I was asked to put it together by James Rucker, who heads a terrific group called Color of Change. And what happened was James became aware that there had. After the debate in Nevada was stopped with Fox and the Democratic Party not going forward, James became aware that the Congressional Black Institute was thinking of sponsoring a debate with Fox. And he reached out to me because I'd done another short piece called Fox Attacks Obama and said to me, could I put together the information that he and many of his colleagues knew was out there about Fox attacking Black America. So I said, sure, and I spent a week or two, and I cannot tell you how furious I was every day working on this material and assembling it, then making it available to James and Color of Change, who then used it in their campaign to rouse people all over the country in opposition to the idea that of all institutes, Congressional Black Institute would sponsor this.
And you broke it down into a number of different types of categories. We have the people like James Carville's wife talking about poor black people. They need help. And then we have also black voices that they use to deliver the same message.
Yes, exactly. One of the things they do that is so both mean-spirited and duplicitous is they will find one black person who will say what they want them to say and feature that person as if in any shape or form it begins to represent a majority opinion.
The one voice that you had said most black people lack moral character.
Right. Yes. Well, that's the tricks that they use. It's the game that they play. Because you put someone on, there's a black face, they say something that Fox wants them to say, and then they use that, denying the validity, denying the experience, denying the reality of how many other black Americans feel.
And Deborah Mathis, when you hear a news commentator say, what Bill O'Reilly said, well, we can't call you guys articulate, or another white newscaster saying, we need to make more babies, what do you think?
I just think they're pathetic specimens of what has been around for a long time, this awful strain of racism that people don't recognize in themselves. They think that racism is either using the N-word in public or dragging somebody behind a truck till their body comes apart, or, you know, lynching somebody from hanging someone from a tree. They consider that racist, but they don't see the everyday, ordinary ways that they perpetuate racism, that they practice racism, that they exude racism. They don't see it in themselves. And that's one of the reasons, again, that I would have loved to have seen this conversation go really raw so some people would have to deal with themselves. That black voice, by the way, was Jesse Peterson, notorious, notorious Tom.
And
notorious Tom. I think, you know, he's Trump's Ward Connerly. He makes Ward Connerly look like H.R.E.P. Brown. And you know, that's saying something.
That's saying a whole lot. And Robert Greenwald, when you were making this, what struck you the most about this? Was it the pattern? Was it the intensity? Was it the casualness of it? What struck you as you put together this piece?
Well, the first thing that struck me was the amount of material available. I was frankly surprised because we didn't have a lot of time to do this. I mean, if we'd gone back over a longer period of time, we could have probably put together, unfortunately, a mini-series of material. But in just, I think it was really about 2 weeks of working on this, so much of the material became available to us was the first thing. And then the other thing, again, it just enraged me, is the fact that they were getting away with this, that this was allowed to go on. And it just motivated all of us who were working on it to get the piece done as quickly as possible and get it out to the world. And fortunately, several hundred thousand people have now seen it and are spreading it around, more people than see some of those horrible Fox shows, by the way.
And well, you can see it at www.foxattacks.com.
Correct. And you can see both pieces there, by the way. The Obama one is interesting, too, because it's not as overt, but it makes it clear that they go after him, and they're continuing to. By the way, this has not stopped. You know, Hannity's continuing to attack on this.
And Deborah, we're seeing that with the Obama piece. I mean, with Obama, it's almost like Obama has allowed them to even engage in with more of a straight face in more of this type of behavior.
Well, you know, I mean, they used to look. The technology has changed. Their resources have expanded. They used to have to resort to horses and sheets and burning crosses. You know, now they've got a television studio, for heaven's sake. And they're feeding. They know exactly what they're doing, and they know how to step around it so that you cannot indict it as directly as before. But it is the same message that is being sent out, and people are getting the message even in code.
This is nappy-headed hoes as well.
Precisely.
And Robert Greenwald, talk to us about the fact that in Nevada, presidential candidates stepped away from appearing on a Fox for a debate. Talk to us about that.
Well, this began when what first happened was I started hearing about the fact that what Fox was doing to Obama soon after he announced for president and soon after his ratings really started shooting up there. So I just started doing the piece. I wanted to call attention to the fact of what they were doing, the racism that was explicit here and that they were kind of trying to hide behind. And then I heard that the Democrats in Nevada, of all places, were sponsoring with Fox a debate. And the horror of that, again, to be clear, is it allows Fox to continue to pretend they're a news organization. It gives them safe cover. And that's very different than any other place which doesn't pretend to be a news organization. So we use the Obama piece sent it around the country and into Nevada, and again, over 400,000 people have seen that, and it became a key element in the campaign to convince the Nevada Democratic Party that they needed to not sponsor this debate because it continues this myth that Fox is a news organization. They're not.
And
they're a very effective propaganda one.
And that then going back to the piece of the Black Caucus and Black Caucus Institute, Deborah, what does it say to the black community that a black organization like this would partner with Fox? It legitimizes them as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it has not gone over well, that's for sure, despite their, you know, actually the members of the Congressional Black Institute, including Benny Thompson, who's the chairman, he's from Mississippi, and I know him well, and I know what he believes in. I think he thinks he's doing something practical that makes sense, you know, that's just pragmatic. But, you know, there is so much more. There always is with us. There often, you know, is another side to it. That we there's a principle that we have to deal with. There is a precedent we have to deal with. There is posterity that we have to deal with. Those three P's, I guess. You know, and they have to be considered against money. Again, like I said, we all know where. We all know how, what prostitution is. We all would know how to be prostitutes. We don't need training for that. We choose not to do those things. We choose to earn less money, maybe, but to earn it honestly and earn it in a way where we can sleep at night.
Without compromise.
Without compromising our bedrock principles. Everybody has to give a little bit here and there in life just to make it through.
But isn't that...
But you don't give up on your real principles.
But doesn't it also add to the discussion of... What is compromise? They're suggesting that compromise is standing out on the street corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if this is what working a deal is, it's legitimizing a news, an entity that pretends to be a news agency that has open hostility towards people of African descent.
That's right.
That's not a compromise.
It's
that's prostitution.
Cover. And, you know, and we got to stop giving cover. That's what happened with IMAs. People said, no more cover here.
No more cover, and we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Deborah Mathis, journalist, columnist, joining us from Washington, D.C., and also the producer and director of Brave New Films, Robert Greenwald, joining us from Los Angeles. We'll be back with more of this discussion about the Congressional Black Caucus Institute and their partnership with Fox News. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Ballthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Good day. This is Tumpe.
This is Balan Lane.
And this is Angel.
Together, we host Wonderful, a new talk show concerning relationships with God, family, and community. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 5 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Hear us there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Running from the past.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Robert Greenwald, a director, producer, Brave New Films, joining us from Los Angeles, and Deborah Mathis, a journalist and columnist, joining us from Washington, D.C. And, Robert, I'd like to talk to you about Fox, because you raised a really good point about dealing with this issue from the perspective that any type of alliance like this raises the suggestion that this is a legitimate news organization, and it's not.
Right. And what was particularly clever, by the way, on their part, was the notion of sponsoring a Democratic debate. Because think about it. It allows them for an hour and a half of time that nobody's going to watch, you know, this early debate on Fox, to go out and then spend the year or 2 years building up to 08 and saying, look, how can you say we're biased? We gave time to the Democratic Party. We sponsored a debate. And Roger Ailes, when they made the announcement about the Nevada debate, put out a statement talking about it. Now, how often do you see his name attached to an hour and a half of programming? Virtually never. And then when Nevada canceled, Roger Ailes personally went and met with several of the key people at the Congressional Black Institute because he knew how critical it was to try to, again, use this way to say, hey, we are real news.
Robert, I just wondered if you happen to know, because I have not been able to find this out, what some of, if of any of the ground rules that were agreed to for this. For example, who would be the panelist or the moderator? Is Fox choosing all of them? Does Fox have more than the Congressional Black Caucus would be able to offer? I mean, there's another way that they can influence,
right,
you know, this debate.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And the last time when they did sponsor one, by the way, with the Congressional Black Institute, we had a little video of it, and across the top of the Fox banner reporting on it, they said Democrat debate, you know, rather than Democratic, which they do to annoy people. And then they went on the air after the last debate, by the way, using what was said to attack Democrats. But specifically, I'm not sure. I think that there was the beginning of a negotiation around Nevada in which we said, okay, if you do it on Fox, then also do it on Air America, because they're equal. Each has a partisan point of view. And, of course, they wouldn't accept that. And we were going to get into a discussion about who the moderators would be. But the essential point was Fox, Air America, similar. Each has a partisan point of view.
And the other piece of this is that how much will the Congressional Black Caucus Institute be able to weigh in on it, given the fact that Fox has given them between $47,000 and $98,000 in sponsorship? So where will they be in terms of a leg to stand on to demand anything? Because they're owned, aren't they?
Well, I think
people don't give you money for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They want something out of the deal. And I could just imagine them really playing real hardball in the negotiating process for this. And, again, I would hope that the Congressional Black Institute, one thing that we do know how to do is to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. We all know. You don't find many of us go jumping off of bridges because we don't have money. We just, you know, go to sleep and get up the next day and start over.
And make it work.
Yeah. And so I'm just hoping that that they are not just so desperate that for cash and cachet that they have just sold the farm.
And what have we heard from members of the Congressional Black Caucus?
There you go. Boy, I mean, some of them have spoken out against it, but there have been plenty of defenders of it. I know that Maxine, of course, has denounced this whole deal.
Because she's Maxine Waters.
Because she's Maxine Waters, and she's going to do the right thing.
And the other piece of this also, to me, is that here we have, once again, an opportunity to put out misinformation and misrepresent where the community of African descent is. This is not a "see, we have arrived" moment. Because you're driving to Fox News. So, you know, this is not a "we have arrived" moment. And my concern is that it will be represented as such.
Exactly. And let's remember one other thing, too, that's happened. The deal is pretty much a dead. I hope you can hear me. Something is buzzing outside my office building, and I don't know what it is.
We can hear you.
Fox News.
But yeah, they aren't too subtle about it. But Obama has pulled out. John Edwards, bless his heart, was the first one to pull out. Said, "I'm not doing it."
Okay, both of them have pulled out.
And then now Hillary's pulled out. So who, I mean, you know, who are they going to have anyway that anybody wants to see? You know, a bunch of also-rans up there. The three main players are already out of it.
Well, what does it say about the Congressional Black Caucus Institute if the Democrats have pulled out, but the Republicans haven't? So what if they go ahead and have it with the Republicans, because they're supposed to have two, right? One with Republicans and one with the Republicans.
That's right.
So what does it say about the Congressional Black Caucus Institute if they have it with the Republicans on Fox? Will the world just incinerate? I mean, is that just too many negatives? What does that say?
It's like, what's the point? You know, the Republican was supposed to be the lost leader, okay? I mean, that's not where they were banking on, you know, really making their mark. They were going to do that with the Democratic one. But now the Democratic one has been emaciated. So, you know, it's like, isn't it a shame to go through this humiliation and to make these and to capitulate in this way for naught, when you get absolutely nothing out of it? I mean, that's what is the real irony of this thing, that they sell themselves for nothing.
And I want to, and Robert, I want to do one quick thing before we go. I really want to talk about this new type of assault on Barack Obama, because you did a similar piece on Barack Obama. What you learned in the putting together the piece for Barack and the piece for Fox Attacks Black America, similarities, differences, what did you see?
Well, it's very similar, because what they do is they attack character, they attack person, and they don't deal with substantive issues, which is a whole other argument about why they are a propaganda wing rather than a news organization. They also attacked Edwards when he pulled out. Now, can you imagine any news organization attacking a presidential candidate? And they were out there up front. They said, oh, Edwards is pulling out because he's not high enough in the polls. So I think that it's really, really important. I mean, we've seen what happened when we let Fox be treated as a news organization. We've seen Whitewater, we've seen Swift Boat, and this is an important campaign to make it clear to people all around the country that we can't let this go on. And I hope people will go to foxattacks.com and with a simple click, pass it on to 5, 7, 10 of your friends, because they will be as angry and as furious as many of us all over the country have been and need to continue to be, because here's a case where we can do something about it.
And just, again, listening to the words that they say, we need to make more white people?
And as a white person speaking on this, let me tell you, I was so enraged about hearing this. I would get up every morning, my wife would say, what's the matter? I said, oh, I'm working on this Fox Attacks Black America. My stomach is in knots.
And you, there are people out there, I swear there are people out there that would say, this type of thing doesn't happen on television. This type of thing doesn't happen in a so-called news thing. There are plenty of people out there that don't think that this kind of thing is done. And these types of things are sad.
Yes, it was, I think, sad and infuriating. And most important, we can do something about it. And as Deborah was saying before, this is considered, well, it's not as bad as lighting the cross.
Exactly. And Robert, tell people where they can go find this clip, Fox Attacks Black America.
They can go to foxattacks.com and they can find Fox Attacks Black America, Fox Attacks Obama. They can sign the petition. They can read other ways to get involved. They can find out who the sponsors of some of this horrible propaganda are, so that it's a time to take action, not only be angry.
And, Deborah, I got the alert from you when this first thing broke. What are you hearing from people out there? Are you getting the same type of furious and intolerable response to this?
Well, you know, people are really responding. And again, Robert mentioned colorofchange.com. They've done the yeoman's work on this. So check that website out, too, colorofchange.org.
Yes, colorofchange.org.
Right.
Deborah Mathis, Robert Greenwald, thank you both so much for joining me this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.
For the good work.
Onward.
Onward indeed.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Take care. Be strong.
Okay.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and you too. Stay strong.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you sustain?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.